My new spaceship. It's my existence in this
You live.
wild world.
You just live in the what do they
This is
call
my
it?
house on the internet. I'm
Cyberspace.
living in it.
Cyberspace. That's the
My
word I was looking for. You live in
cyberspace.
cyberspace now.
Oh,
We are recording.
yeah. Hello.
Ooh.
Now, you better have a
Now,
good excuse for why it took us so long to come back here, Hamish.
well, my mother died. Is that all
I
right?
know. Oh. I mean, Drew used that one last year, so come on, be a bit more creative.
I'm not being creative enough, no. Sorry about
Just jump it on the fucking bandwagon.
Yeah, well, that's it. I just wanted to be in the club. It's a
My
shit
mom's dead
club.
too.
It's a shit club, I'll be honest with you. I'm not enjoying it,
It's a shit club. No, it's awful.
But yeah, she'll
Mine's
appreciate it. She would
next.
appreciate the shout out, you know. Oh, don't say that. Jesus.
I mean, it is,
I mean,
to be
I don't
fair,
believe in
it
fate and
is.
all that sort of thing, but that just made me go, ooh, a wee bit, you know.
I mean, it is undeniable that it is Chris's next. There aren't any other options.
Yeah. There's only one mother left out of the
But,
three.
you
Yeah.
know.
Unless we get somebody else on the show. To protect Chris's mum, maybe we get somebody else on the show.
And we'll make sure they walk across a lot of paving stones without stepping on the cracks, just to be sure.
Well, I'm sure they're
well,
looking
there
up
was
at
an
us and
opener to
having
our
a good old
show.
laugh.
There's an opener to our show.
Contact us if your mum's dead.
Or if you think she might be next. God, I've not even had the funeral rent and you guys have got me in joking mode. It's a sick world that we live in. Literally, the three of us. It's a sick world we live in.
Yeah.
I will say before we get any further into this episode that this episode doesn't have a lot in it of the actual expanse. So I feel like we're going to be tangent land a lot today. There's a few good points to pick up on, but I feel like it's.
It's more, not to speak for Chris, and Chris can, you know, obviously, come, but like, it seems like it's more of the stuff that Chris likes, though. It's getting onto
to
the
some extent,
proto-y.
I think you may have a point there, yeah. Because there is, well, there is another thing that pops.
It's, or at least it's beginning to move that plot along.
I
watched this twice before, like we sort of had a break. Because I mean, to be fair, also your sleep schedule, Drew, had gone round the dark side.
Yeah, I do actually blame Drew for the most part. Well, and you for having a life, Chris.
And a girlfriend. We're space virgins, Chris, not space Lotharia. Oh, that's not the right word.
I'm sorry. I let the fame of this podcast get to my head.
See, that's it, Drew. Drew and I are available if anybody's watching. You know, just send.
I'm not available.
Well, but as available as we are, you know.
Do you know,
as we can
Drew?
Be.
I think I'd probably have to ask like your sister or niece about this rather than you. But like, what does your room smell like?
Smoke.
Nah, that would explain.
Smoke and dust. And I smell of raw meat.
Wait,
always
you
have
raw meat.
Yeah, but usually people don't smell of it.
Oh.
Speaking of my sister and my niece, though, I was very proud of my niece yesterday. We passed each other in the hall, and we had a little chat. And she said, last night, I dreamt I had a penis. And then she followed it up very quickly with, obviously, I wanked a lot.
Yeah, definitely your family. For sure. <Yeah. laughs> Okay, well.
I mean, sorry, did you ask how big it was?
Oh, I didn't ask how big it was. I will ask you, though.
No,
I do wonder.
I do not want. Now, see, this leads me to another point, and I don't want us to get there. I don't want Drew to start comparing things.
No, I'm gonna message her. No, we might get. Okay,
and this is when I'd like some feedback from the folks at home, men, women, and all the others, because it's like I often wonder, like, what's the ideal like penis size, right? Because obviously, too small, but too big. Painful. Is there, like, if you were to dream of having a penis, what, like, because I don't know, you know, and it depends on who you're having sex with, really, as well.
I think, as somebody who can appreciate a nice penis, it's not just about its length and breadth and blah blah blah. It's the ratio. Like, it's got a nice thickness to it. I think not a chode, like a reasonable length and a nice sort of meaty thickness to it. One that sort of flops when you
get some good thwoppage going, you know.
Yeah. And when he slaps thwoppage. You on the forehead with it, you can feel it.
Just a bit. So, but anyway, I've always kind of wondered. I don't think there is a perfect penis size. I think it just depends on what you do with it. and who you're doing it with, right?
I think, to be honest as well, I think the actual penis-vagina interaction is like such a tiny part of our best fun sex. You know? I don't want to say artist. That sounds pretentious, but I...
A cunnilingus.
I do... Well, I'm a digital specialist and cunning linguist, yeah. But I like to... I get off on lady having pleasure, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I don't understand these guys that just, you know... You hear about people talking about their boyfriends and you hear women chatting or something. And he's just like in and out and that's it. And it's like, how boring is that? Where's the fun in that? That's just relieving yourself, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that almost sounds like a guy that doesn't enjoy having sex, to be honest.
Might be.
It's like, it's a very psychological subject, isn't it? With a lot of, what's those words that the shrinks use, like psychoses or whatever, you know, like, you know, a lot of like emotional attached to it.
Yeah, and... everybody's weird about sex in some way.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's the way masculinity is, I think men were encouraged to be that like in and out thing. Like you just satisfy yourself, and that's like it's almost not masculine to seek to do anything other than satisfy yourself.
Is that a new thing? I've heard like
Victorian-y. Victorians really fucked us up with sex in a lot of ways.
Shame on them.
I've told my niece I'm doing a podcast with some friends and they're curious about how big your dick was when you dreamed you had one.
Disappeared completely now, Drew. Literally disappeared.
I'm moving out.
she is at work though.
So. Yeah. I hope that doesn't. I'm sure that's going to pop up on a screen on her phone, lying on a desk somewhere where 10 people can see it.
Hey, it's I mean, to be honest, woman's perspective could be useful.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, right, so that's our first tangent.
Yeah. Before the show as well, we did a bit of internet sleuthing. This has nothing to do with penises, despite being on the internet. I was looking at a rental place, like a house to rent for me and my stepdad, because mum's gone. We were going to look after each other because we were ordered to. So that's, you know, you cannot not do that. Drew, you really are disappearing, mate.
I know. I'm trying to. Yeah, you need to. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, you need to get a bit closer.
I'm in the same position I usually am with the same lighting I usually am. Maybe I'll just keep my hand up here.
Yeah, I think the background has to go because it's just going to completely destroy you every time. Aww.
It's quite gloomy out there in the world.
Is it?
Yeah. It's just a dark day.
Yeah, it's been dark all around. Hang on, background.
How do I get rid of the background?
If you go to select background.
Oh, non. Non is a picture. I've got it. There we go.
Yeah, or you can blur your background like that.
It doesn't look like
doesn't actually fix anything. So that's shite.
It's not like it doesn't even look like a field of view effect. I guess it's just there so that people can like privacy have some thing, privacy thing. Yeah,
partially because as soon as their finger or their nose or their ear goes near it shows up again. So.
Yeah, but like if you've got one of those big black dildos on your back shelf, then at least you know you've got some plausible deniability.
That's a Dalek, that one. Just there.
A Dalek dildo?
It's a Dalek.
Oh, that sounds a bit...
What you use it for is up to you, you know. That's a classic Dalek. And then on that side, somewhere, if we can get to the other side of the... No, I can't. That way. There's a Davros from the same sort of range. These are all presents. I know you don't like grown people having... toys in the background.
I don't approve of grown people having toys.
I love shorts.
This don't act like that's a weird opinion.
What?
Yes, that is a weird opinion.
Adults don't wear fucking shorts. We literally say grown out of long, grown into, what did you say? Grown out of short pants.
Since I've been in long trousers. No. Or since I wore short trousers. No, but that's a fucking public school bollocks, that is. That's talking about school uniform.
You know.
And I never wore shorts at school. I never wore short trousers when I was in primary school.
It's going to be right every whatever. I was having this discussion with Ghosty earlier, actually. He's on the short. No.
He's also a sensible person that wants to be comfortable with cool.
And also,
physically.
We're British. It's not about being comfortable.
We're British. People up north should be wearing shorts all through the winter too.
I wear shorts about 9 months of the year.
Yeah,
that's disgusting.
I mean, if I lived back in Scotland, it'd probably be much more, much less of that.
But I don't want to play this card, Drew, because I do kind of feel it's a bit mean. But like, you haven't. You haven't been outside in 20 years.
Yeah. I've been outside as an adult, and if I'm not mistaken, the climate is warmer since... Oh, the climate is warmer since then. That's like, forget that. Okay, ignore that part.
Checkmate.
Climate change.
I never wore shorts when I was I never wore shorts like as an adult.
I never wore shorts as a kid because I was
not me as an adult. I would never wear shorts. It's embarrassing to wear shorts.
Yeah, but also as an adult, you don't care if you're cool or not.
I don't care about being embarrassed.
Yeah.
I look fucking ridiculous no matter what, so I just don't care anymore.
Looking ridiculous is fine, but wearing... Like, you wouldn't go out in, like, a baby's bonnet and a dummy in your mouth, right?
No, see, this is you being extreme. Feels, you're just taking things like to extremes.
That.
No,
it feels like that. That's how it feels to me. Or, like, joking aside, that's how it feels to me, yeah.
Yeah, but you also think poo is a childish word.
It is.
It's just polite, you know?
That's not a matter of opinion.
If you're in random company out with your dog, you don't say, oh, there's a big shite my dog just did. You know, I just don't do that because it doesn't feel polite, you know?
It's just a fake...
Little old ladies out with their little poodles and stuff. I don't want to, frighten them anymore than I normally do.
There are non-rude words. Feces.
Feces is such a clinical word. It's just like...
It's not clinic. What clinic are you going to?
The feces clinic.
One that uses the word feces.
Yeah, yeah.
Stool. Not one that uses the word
dog
shite.
My dog has done stool.
Stool. Yeah, there you go. Stool. That's fine.
It has produced liquid. It has produced solid waste.
Spore.
Spore.
That's a good word.
Spore.
Spore.
Spore. No. Spore. No. No. Spore. Spore. Not spore.
Spore.
Spore. Spore.
Gronk.
No, it's not spore. Gronk. Spor. Is.
I'm fucking. I'm checking. I'm checking this.
You check it. Spore is not.
That's my favorite.
Poop. Or shite.
What was sorry? What's your favorite?
Gronk.
Gronk.
Is that Welsh?
No, an old housemate used to have it. He was from the Wirral, so I don't know if it's local slang to that.
Okay.
He'd just go, squirt.
That's spur. Particular... It's spur.
He was,
not spur.
He looked it up and it's spur. Not
yeah,
spur.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well.
Anyway, back on topic.
I didn't told you so, I just wanted to see that I was, apart from just then, I was being the bigger man. It was all on the inside.
But back on topic, so I do want to comb over, and as you know, I've been watching a lot of 70s game shows, and on 70s game shows, there's a lot of like men in their 40s and 50s with like full-on comb overs.
Yeah.
Like, like very, just like, you know, the strands of hair perfectly parallel across the top of the head. And I was wondering, like, did they think they were fooling anyone, or was it just a style?
That's what I'm getting. That's what I wonder about with those things. Same with wigs. When you see somebody with like a hairpiece, like, you know,
I'm wig blind. I'm honestly, I'm wig blind. It does. It fools me. I can't see wigs.
Well, it depends how good a good one can. Mm. But you know, sometimes it's just so obvious, and you think, well, why bother? I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, if I was going bald, it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah,
I'm not fussed. Because I mean, we laugh at the comb over now, but obviously back then, like, they didn't think it looked silly.
I don't think they were consciously thinking they were fooling anybody.
No,
maybe, I mean, that's clearly maybe a bit of a sort of psychological comfort, maybe
like a slight visual, you know, at a glance, maybe it looks like, you know, there's hair there or something. But
when they have a rabbit on their head from a distance, it looks like hair.
Yeah, well, I think it's like, I think part of it is like you just comb, you just do the side parting like every day for your entire life. It's almost like autopilot, automatic.
That might be part of it. Yeah. But and no, it's just but like, as Drew says, though, it's kind of plastered across in parallel.
It's very like,
it's a very deliberate sort of
thing. That could be, yeah.
It could maybe be, yeah, it could be, a, it could be a, like a continuation the of thinner. The parting.
It could be the thinner hair just makes it more inclined to do that.
Yeah.
But also, it could be the case that it's like the boiling frog metaphor, right? Where it's like you lose a bit of hair and you don't really notice. And then
and just one day you're sort of, shit, there's hardly any there anymore.
I guess I do
want to try that next time. I forget every time, but next time I shave, I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, I did ask when I spoke to him earlier. You typed it, you'd done that, and it's like, oh, did you remember?
I forget every time. I forget every fucking like I intend to that day, and then I do it, and I'm like, oh.
So like sometimes people get that little like right at the crown bald spot where it begins, and I always wonder like
I think it's when it my starts hair's thinnest, the... but it's not. I don't think it's going bald. It's just thinnest there.
Yeah, mine's baldy.
So, and it's like I'm sure I've known some people though. Oh, it gets there's a bit of a bald patch there, but they still carry on because it looks the best.
You can put a hair over it up to a point.
Well, not even a hair over it. Just like have it there. Just like as it exists. But just
I see.
Just like crack on
let's
with
it. Like,
I do like
over time. You know,
the kind
like
of
William Shakespeare or something.
The kind of baldness where your hair pretty much stays here and you do just get a very distinct bald patch at the back. I think that actually looks quite cool. I think.
It can
It doesn't look bad on the people I've seen it on.
Mm.
But when I think about it in my head, it looks silly, but like when I see it on other people, it doesn't. So I don't I don't know at which point I would make the jump and just go zzz, 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 all over.
Yeah, I mean, I was shaving before. I even always had the very distinct widow's peak, and now like I'm bald here, but this the front bit of the widow's peak is still there, just like a little tuft.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that this is sort of I've got more forehead than I used to have, basically.
Like even when I was a kid, it was like a very distinct like.
Yeah, Vampire, Ray Reardon
I
sometimes look in the mirror and think I've got more forehead.
Oh, you've got a widow's peak going on,
But I look and I think, oh, hang on a minute, is something happening here? And then I look at photos from years ago. And
it's
go, no,
always
actually,
like that. Yeah,
it's always been like that. I've always had a five head. You know, it's just like. But then I've not always had haircuts that go back.
Yeah.
So it's
that can be the tellingness as well that you sweep your hair side back for you know forwards if it falls. Mm,
but
if
you've got
you got a fringe or something, you know. Men with fringes is a bad thing, I think.
Unless you're going for the full on Edgar bowl cut kind of.
No, you just look like
well,
a YouTuber.
Think about anybody that's got a fringe in real life. Think about any man that's got a fringe in real life, and you're thinking of people like fucking Boris Johnson and stuff like that, or any of those people.
I don't like fringes with the parting
sweeping right above their eyebrows. These again, politicians seem to be the twats.
The only haircut I like that has a fringe involved. I like you know the micro fringe. I think that looks quite cool. But other than that,
children's haircut. 90s thing. Get back in your shorts.
On a woman, yeah, I like a very severe
women.
Bob.
Oh, wait, no, I'm not talking about women. I'm talking about men.
I like a very angular, severe bob. I think that looks really cool.
That's cute.
Louise Brooks sort of look.
I don't know what that is.
Louise Brooks, she was a famous silent film star.
Right, put the podcast on hold just while we Google.
He's going to look up Louise Brooks.
Brooke or Brooks?
Brooks.
Yeah,
I thought you'd like that. She had a few different styles over time, but they were all based around that bob. There's even a picture of her as a child, and she's got this bob, but it's kind of like, you know, more bushy. If you know, it's not styled, it's just the way her hair was cut when she was a kid. I saw that it was quite cute when I saw that. I thought, you stepped on my story about our internet sleuthing as well.
I brought things back on topic.
What to hear? Shorts. So, me and Alan, since we lost Mum, we're looking at. He doesn't want to buy another house. He just wants to sell the house he's got, and eventually, when that goes, he'll put the money somewhere and save it up. But he wants to rent in the meantime. So we've been looking at places to rent. And we found one that we quite liked the look of, which I showed you both before the show. But when we were looking at the thing and then looking at the map, we couldn't actually find, because it was just like the centre of the postcode. That's Louisbrooks, yeah. It's a bit squished out, but hang on, I'll see if I can. No, it's still squished out when I look at that properly. But yeah, Louise Brooks, she was a very attractive young lady. Mm. I can't. She lived quite an old age, actually. Can't remember. You know, well into at least her 80s or 90s or something.
Stay on topic, Hamish.
I know. Mm-hmm. Well, you're the one who put a picture of a pretty lady on the screen.
What are you talking about? I didn't know anything.
Yeah. It's all on video, you know. So yeah, so we were looking, but because of the dot on the map was just the postcode area, we couldn't find the exact address. And it took ages. We had looked at it when Alan and me were there. We'd found it on the map, but we dismissed that one because there was a couple of little things that didn't look right. But then Drew looked at it, and you know, a fresh set of eyes. He said he thinks it is that one, and we narrowed it down. It definitely is where we think it is. So. Well done to Drew for being a part in the internet sleuthing crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, but it looks pretty cool, that place. And my new studio, if we were to move there, would be a rather large conservatory. So that would be the new Hamish studio.
When you said about the
I never heard either of those things because you both spoke at the same time. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, go on. After you, please.
Oh, lots of lighting there.
Yeah, there's a lot of natural light around it, and there's also curtains, so if it was, you know, I could affect the lighting and
Looks like a really nice place to have a studio, but are you concerned that it might be too hot in summer with it being a conservatory?
That's a good point. Never thought of that.
I assume, can you open
open the patio doors?
Yeah. That'd be all right.
You get a portable air conditioner, or you could put a bag of frozen peas in front of a fan, desk fan.
Yep, done that.
Or frozen lemonade bottles.
Done all that.
But yeah, I mean, you're a Scottish person living in.
It is too hot for me. Yeah, South of England. This room, my living room in this flat is kind of south-southeast facing, the front window is. So it's quite hot in the summer here anyway, you know. So
do you know what blows my mind is that you can now get sportswear, right? There's like a top that you put on that actually makes you colder than if you weren't wearing the top at all.
So does it actually work? I mean, you see,
yes.
People
I
see people with these leggings and shirts and stuff that have got meshy bits all over them and stuff. Is it that kind of thing, is it?
Well, it's like what cyclists wear when the spandexy type stuff. And it's like, you can get it in other, for non-cycling purposes, just the material. But yeah, like, I mean, it blew my mind. I didn't think it did that.
I've seen a lot of runners, especially lady runners, with it where they would have had like a solid colour or pattern or something before. Mm. Now they're starting to have where there's little like mesh patches like behind the knees and stuff like that. And you think, oh, that must be a cool
thing. How does it work?
I haven't got a clue.
Is it just like a heat sink?
Something, I assume so. Like it just takes heat away from your body.
It wicks the sweat away and stuff.
It wicks the sweat, but there's also something very like, it's like it does heat sink you in some way. That's the bit that blew my mind. I don't know how.
Do
it
you
works,
have to eject the heat sink like you do in a spaceship in Elite Dangerous?
We have to fart from time to time, but that's
right,
about
okay.
the...
That may be it, then. Maybe it all gets gathered up in your bum and then ejected that
Yeah,
way.
That's the...
Yeah, we'll have to look... The next time one of those ladies is running past me, I'll have a good look at her bum, just to see if there's any sort of equipment.
Yeah,
Not happy about bum.
What, backside, is it? Or
buttocks, arse, backside, rump. Posterior, booty's fine. Booty's not baby talk.
No, but it's fucking ridiculous, though.
It's fine. It's booty.
No,
booty. I think booty
just because he likes gangster rap, he thinks booty's an acceptable word.
Yeah.
Bum. Bum is fine. Does my bum look big in this?
No.
It's like, no, it does not look big in this.
It's both. Let's have a look.
God, no! I'm wearing my indoor trousers. I don't want to get my legs out. I don't. Yeah.
So apparently, we watched The Expanse again.
Oh no, I didn't watch this episode.
Have you not seen it?
Never seen it.
Oh, you skipped this one specific episode. The whole
I've just never watched this.
I mean, it is a bit. It is a bit of a meh episode, to be honest. I think we all.
It's my favorite of the season.
Really?
Yeah, because stuff happens.
Well,
I like the bit where the water comes in. Yeah, that, like that, the water comes in.
Yeah, there's a big dramatic
and,
thing.
And Jim's like, I'm going to be a hero, but Jim really fucking irritates me in this episode. Mm. Couple of places. So first of all,
there's a scene that I feel was absolutely fucking unnecessary.
I don't know if it's that. But when he's in the porter cabin with the lady and the pressure waves coming in. And you see, it goes dark, and he's like, oh, I think the pressure wave's coming in. I'll go and stand with my face right up against the fucking window.
Yeah, they both look at it and go, Don't think, well, maybe we should duck before it smashes through the place. Yeah.
What do you suppose that is?
And then similarly, when they're trying to lift up, and there's that very exciting scene. I enjoyed it. When they, you know, they're trying to lift up the thing that's going
to protect them. Yeah, they've used like the side of a container or something to try and cover the hole where they broke into the alien tech building.
And like Jim, like he hears the tsunami coming in, and he goes and just like turns around and looks at it and goes, fuck me, that's definitely a tsunami. I should hop in. And he does it a second time as well when he's about to hop in. He's like, how close is it now? Yeah. Ooh, I better get moving.
It's like, the camera could have just looked past them. You didn't have to
What are you, like, I understand the human impulse of like, how close is it? But like in that moment, like,
I'd be thinking, I can hear it behind me, I'm just going to keep going.
You're not gaining anything by, that knowledge does not benefit you in any way. Just get down the hole as quickly as you can. Yeah.
So also, there is some excitement, but right on that whole sequence, when the pressure wave hits, so before they go back to the, you know, the last few survivors go to get into the shelter, there's a bit where there's a little kid, and it's, oh, the wind took my mummy and daddy away.
I mean, you say kid, I would describe it more as Gollum in a ginger curly wig.
It was fucking terrible. It was really bad. It was bad acting for a kid. It was really stilted and awkward between him and Jim.
The weird,
and it seemed unnecessary. We know first that people time through, were, you know...
And I guess this is a bit of a reverse spoiler, but first time through, that kid, I was like, that's a fucking alien or something. Because it comes across so weird, I was like, something is going on with
there's
that kid.
There's something weird that kid. With that kid, yeah.
And that carries on for the next few episodes. I'm like, something is, like, that kid is the proto-molecule or something. Because it's like it's tried to look like a human child and missed them. Like, missed, I apologize to the child.
Sorry to the actor.
Yeah, I apologize. But it's an ugly fucking child.
You know
child.
What it probably is? It's probably a kid of one of the you know, the writers or...
Well, they should have pushed it back in.
I was going to say, you know, maybe just, oh, a bit of fun, you could join in. But yeah, it's not, there's something weird about that kid.
It's an odd scene, it's odd acting, it's an odd choice of ginger. I think that can't be his real hair.
No, not the way it's cut and everything. It's like they've just stuck a wig from another character on him.
I can't find this kid. I don't even think I remember even seeing this kid. It's
Just after the bit with the shockwave where they look out the fucking window at the shockwave as it comes in. Just past that. It's just in the aftermath of that, he goes outside and, you know, sees some dead bodies and people climbing out of wreckage and stuff. And then this one kid is just... And the thing is, where the kid is standing doesn't look like it would giving the kid any fucking shelter anyway.
No, it's just... That's another reason. I think that's part of why I thought this is a proto-molecule, like, manifestation. Oh.
The whole you thing annoyed him. Me. The whole That whole little bit just really fucking annoyed me.
That pisses me off every time.
Yeah, it just drove me nuts. I was like, no, this is...
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Okay.
I mean, I feel it was unnecessary, but... I don't have the same cut that guy, right?
Okay,
that is a repulsive. Apologies again. You know, some people are ugly, some people are beautiful. That is a repulsive child, and I hope that's makeup or CGI. But you know,
but you know, spoiler alert, teleologically, etc.
I disagree.
Nothing else happens with that kid, really, other than he's one of the survivors.
Well, he keeps being creepy and weird throughout the next few episodes. Like,
I'm on your side, actor boy. I'm on your side.
I'm just going to see if there's anything in the wiki about him.
It just
don't
looks,
look at the wiki, Chris.
No. And actually, I think his hair's kind of cool.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, I mean, he's curly haired, so he's like...
We've got to look after our own, haven't we?
The Ginga, he's not anybody's own.
That's the downside of there being lots of hot red-haired women in the world that are also red-haired men.
That's two child. Downsides. That's two
this
downsides.
This podcast is brought to you by Ed Sheeran.
Sorry, you know. But
well, I will never forget Ed Sheeran to what he did to Game of Thrones. I mean,
well, did he think he was fine in Game of Thrones, wasn't he?
No, he was not fine in Game of Thrones. He was awful in Game of Thrones.
He was fine.
No, Arya Stark should have killed him where he stood. Butchered him.
You know, there was somebody else in it who was, yeah, no, that comedy actor who played, I think he played the Red Monk kind of
thing. Yeah. If you hadn't
he was shit.
He wasn't very good in that, I thought.
No, yeah. I like him generally. He's terrible in that.
But he was Paul Red. God,
yeah, the Red Priest guy, the... Not Beric Dondarrion, he was...
Somebody of Moros or Miros or Boros or... Boros, Johnson of Boros?
Thoros of Mere?
That's possibly it, yeah.
Hang on, I'll look
at him. He's played by a British comedy actor.
Yeah, I'm going to look Paul Key. I knew it was Paul.
And Paul Key, yeah. And his performance was just like tonally off for the show. Like, he just felt like he was in a different show to everybody else.
Yeah, it was like he was just sort of shipped in for one day and they filmed it and he wasn't told anything else.
But Ed Sheeran, all I knew about Ed Sheeran was
that... When you see him later on, it's better. He fits in better.
Yeah, he gets a bit better, I think.
The first time he's in it, it does feel out of sync with everything else, yeah.
But Ed Sheeran, all I knew about Ed Sheeran was that he annoys people. I didn't even know what he did for a living or whatever.
Well, he doesn't really make... It's just bland as fuck.
I saw him in the show, and like I know everybody was like, he was really annoying in the show, and he's fine, he acted fine.
No, he didn't act fine. His music is bland, you know, off the shelf chart music. So it's not like it's not good, it's not bad. It's designed to appeal to the most amount of mums you can get.
Yeah,
you know
that stuff.
Yeah. Because he was like, "Oh, that's a pretty song." He goes, "Yeah, it's new." You might just be saying it's on my new album, like. And also, what I hate about that scene in particular, right, is that he is in every single shot. So they're talking around a campfire, but every shot has fucking Ed Sheeran in the... They completely try and get as much Ed Sheeran screen time as possible out of that scene. They can't even cut him out.
Get their money's worth. They know their audience, probably, demographically. I mean, I guess what we're saying is it should have been Ice Cube.
Well, I mean, Ice Cube can act.
Ice Cube can act.
Ice Cube's good. I've seen him in.
Yeah, he's been in some good films, to be fair. Bring in Ice Cube for all I care. Like, I don't have a problem with celebrity cameos. It's just...
How about the Game of Thrones, but every character's played by Ice Cube?
That's
you're going to hate this, but I think that's his real hair.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
And he's just a young actor from Canada. He doesn't appear to be connected to anybody else.
I do feel bad now. Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Wow.
He made it on his own.
Does he look normal in his publicity photos? Does he look more like, you know, like a human being?
Well, let's find out. Let's have a
look. Oh, God. Poor fucking child. Chris is on your side.
Sorry, I'm distracted by other things in our timeline at the moment. Yeah.
Imagine just like you know, he's your son, and he like comes into the room, whatever. You turn around, you just like vomit a little bit.
You're so cruel. It's funny.
Is it? I bet there's a Reddit for parents of ugly children.
Oh, he looks fine there. He looks fine there.
Yeah, he looks more like a normal human being for the start. But yeah,
I think the way the dirt's on his face doesn't help, or something like that.
Yeah, there's just something. Yeah. He looks. Oh, this seems really... it's already harsh, but he looks misshapen in some way in that shot. Not in the publicity shot, in the action shot.
Misshapen.
Yeah, I mean, I feel cruel saying this.
Misbegotten.
Misbegotten, oh my God, that's even worse.
Should not be.
Should not be.
Misbegotten by time.
Yeah. It's proof that humanity has erred.
Yeah, it's just
He's a hair actor.
I can see the picture in the background of Chris, and it's like, ooh.
Oh,
that's a normal kid.
It isn't.
His publicity picture, that's a normal kid.
Yeah, that's a normal kid. That's fine.
This, whatever this is, no thank you.
Yeah, not a fan. And he's he's acting a bit golem-y as well.
He just survived a nuclear shockwave. Not a nuclear shockwave, but just a shockwave.
Yeah. How well, as well?
That
how
made him ugly.
He's sitting outside the corner of a shelter.
I mean, I wouldn't go on a date after I got a shockwave to the face.
I mean, best dates involve a shockwave. No. Of course.
We were talking about that earlier, weren't you? Getting slapped in the head.
Yeah.
Nothing like some good thwoppage to seal off a good date.
Come Tsunami. That punk band name?
Yeah, it could be. Come Tsunami.
Come Tsunami. Strictly Come Tsunami.
I was going to say something else about this scene and this kid, but
I apologize.
If you are watching, we're sorry.
No ugly shaming on Spaceberg.
He's got amazing hair, to be honest.
In the publicity really shot, his hair looks cool. Good, yeah. In the show, it looks like a bad wig.
And also, like, one of the things, right, is that he looks like he's got a unique look to him.
Dust through him or something as well.
Yeah. Because, there's a lot of, like, I get a bit of face blindness with a lot of famous people because they all kind of have that same style of beauty, as it were.
You've not noticed that I'm George Clooney the whole time we've been on.
You know what? You know what? You're not like that. Like, Clooney's not a bad shout for you.
No, he's not actually. I was thinking that. Like,
you have a Clooney-ish air to you.
Okay,
for sure.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was the intention there, but okay. I just picked a random actor that would be famous to see.
Actually, it's like we're like Poundland Clooney, Poundland Jason Statham. I don't know what I am. Like,
you're Poundland Frank Muir.
I feel that's a step down.
Actually, no. Frank Muir is the Poundland you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very kind.
You're the Tesco's value you.
Tesco.
Tesco value is good. Yeah.
I'm a big. And also the Tesco plant chef. That's a good.
We're sponsored by right wing supporting nut jobs, Tesco.
I mean, Sainsbury's as well.
Sainsbury's are actually worse. Yeah.
Tory.
They're complete fucking...
I will say that Tesco do a great set of meat-free range, like of meat-free products that are vegan. I just, like... don't get me wrong, they got a lot of shit baggage with them, but also meat-free... Okay. I see that's cleared the room.
I dropped my lighter. I don't know what happened to Hamish.
Right. It's okay. I stopped talking about veganism.
No, I was going to get my advert.
Oh, that's embarrassing. They've spelled zero incorrectly.
Roller cooler.
Roller cooler.
Zero cooler.
Yeah. So
where do you stand on the roller cola versus Coca Cola kind of, like, how much of a step down is that roller cola?
Funnily enough, if you'd asked
just like store brand cola.
Oh
yeah. If you'd asked me this a few years ago while I was still drinking like full sugar stuff, Coke or nothing for me. That was it. Absolutely Coke or nothing. However, since I've come to the, because of the diabetes and all that, since I've come to the zero or low sugar or whatever type, you know, diet, whatever, all these things, this is actually my favourite of all of them, the Tesco one. Followed probably by, and I hate to say this, especially being a former Coke person, Pepsi Max. Also evil cunts, you know, same as Coke. I mean, Coke are literally fascist supporters.
They literally killed union supporters, union organizers, didn't they?
Yeah. They're literally fascists. So that, and then the diet stuff. I don't think is as good. I don't know. I know the difference between like zero and max, and you know, and then just diet everything is the type of
sweeteners
that they use, and I think the type of sweeteners they use in these ones, you know, max, zero, zero. Are all, you know, I think they're probably slightly more expensive sweeteners or something, or just more modern sweeteners, and they're a bit nicer.
My understanding was that particularly with Coke and Diet Coke is that Diet Coke has a particular taste that whilst it originally was the sugar-free version, has sort of developed its own kind of cult following, not only just because it's zero sugar, but also because but advertising as well, but also because it has that kind of twang that just by sheer numbers of people out in the world has hooked number in. So they then bring out Coke Zero, which is more, I imagine, similar to original Coke, but with zero sugar.
Yeah, I'd say there's a line of that. Yeah. Because the only low sugar version of any soft drink that actually tastes anything like, because Coke Zero, Coke, Pepsi Max, none of those taste like the actual drink. Don't care what anybody says, none of them taste like the real drink. The only one that actually, the diet version that tastes like the real thing is Iron Brew. Diet Iron Brew tastes very close to Iron Brew. Not perfect, but very, very close.
I've never enjoyed the taste of colas. I never liked cola, like, you know, when kids like colas, but I never enjoyed
it. I don't know. Like,
I was trying to turn the label there while I was drinking it to make it look cool, and I went the wrong way because of the mirroring and all that. Never mind.
I like it three times a year when it's, you know, when it's hot and everything. But I mean, I'm a big squash guy. You know, this is Robinson's.
I did get to the point where I didn't dislike cola, and on like a very cold cola on a very hot day was this quite nice about that. But yeah,
bit of lemon in it, you know.
But I think it's water and occasionally a ginger ale. I do like a ginger ale.
Actually, it's funny you should say that, because now that I've been moving to decaf tea, you don't get the same selection of brands in the shop and all that. So I've gotten more used to I've tried the Co-op owned brand, which is a lot cheaper than the brands, and actually not bad. Like, certainly happy with that. There's Knightsbridge that they do in Lidl with a decaf version. That's very nice.
Not decaf, just a normal Knightsbridge. Speaking of which, I'm going to make a cup of tea because I'm gagging.
And also the Waitrose own brand one, pretty good. But you might expect
we know you go to fucking Waitrose. You don't have to keep telling us.
It's only because it's nearest. But it's I do sometimes balk at the price of the things there sometimes a little bit.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that they charge the prices they think people, you know, it's like most of these shops that are supposed to be more upmarket are all they're doing is charging more for the same thing.
Literally to appease
people's, you know, I don't go to a slovenly supermarket. I go to a, you know, a decent one. You know, it's bollocks, but...
Yeah, I think that with Waitrose, it might be the case that because it's owned by the workers,
I mean, as a shop, I can't be so harsh on them. Same with Co-op. Co-op prices aren't amazing in comparison, but you know where the money's going. You know?
Yeah. And I think with Co-op, if you're pretty quick on the membership card and the deals and all that kind of stuff, you can bring stuff down a little bit as well.
Yeah, you can get it into the
But you got to be relatively vigilant. I'm not like disciplined enough for that kind of thing.
Yeah, don't look at every offer every week or whatever. Yeah.
And I think with Co-op, you can do it on, you don't necessarily, I don't think you need the app. I think you can do it on the website, and then they give you like a little card.
May surprise you to know that I've never used an app with a supermarket.
I know, I don't do that either, but it's
surprised. I popped into Tesco today on the way back with Alan, and I was extremely surprised to find I had this in my wallet.
I don't think I have. Yeah. Like, oh, you need a Tesco Club card. That's like basically British citizenship at this stage.
Well, it's also one of the first big spyware schemes that was launched in Britain.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's like they do it so that it's like you kind of have to. To be honest, if I was dictator of UK, I'd ban all Club kinds card. Of loyalty. Yeah.
I'd
ban all club loyalty cards, you know?
Well, like it's a scam.
They're a scam. It's anti-competitive, is what it is.
That's the problem with it.
Yeah, I think the only like those kind of things, I've got my bank app and I've got the NHS app. I don't know if that counts, but
I didn't know you got an NHS app. Oh, no, I don't know, my mum had on her phone.
It's quite easy to, it's easier to renew subscriptions, otherwise you have to ring and it's like, you know what, beep, beep, beep on the phone.
Yeah. I know for prescriptions, I've got a service. I just go to a website, though. Me being me, I don't use this. I've spent ages fighting. This is a new to me phone, and I've spent ages fighting with it, trying to turn everything off, only to find that Google has to be a middleman for actual core apps and some stuff. Like calls. I couldn't make a call without allowing one of the Google things to be the conduit for it. And then going into the Google thing and turning off all the optional stuff there. You have to turn off every app. You have to turn off individually the permissions. Mm. You can't just say, no, don't let Google look at my stuff. It's fucking ridiculous.
I've done a reasonably good job at de-Googling. But it's still a little bit like festering in there. I use the Aurora store to do my phone updates. And I think that it puts on some Google things that Google wants. So I could turn off the updates completely and then completely de-Google the phone. But because it's reset some things to default that re-Google some things. Anyway, it gets complicated. Yeah, and not interesting. But
I'm at the point with this phone where I'm thinking, fuck it. You know, they've won. They make so many things opt out. And they reset it every time there's an update. They go, oh, no, you have to change your settings back. We've changed your settings. That's the default. So now all your things you've opted out of are back in. And you're like...
Given how much I've got in the bank, I would consider getting a de-Googled phone from somewhere and then having a cheap like Nokia thing here for the apps and then have it in a Faraday cage and just like
this is a Nokia when I need it. It's the first Nokia phone I've ever owned, but you would never know because they all look the fucking same today.
Yeah, they're all the same.
So it's a Microsoft phone.
No, they did have those as an option.
No, I mean, did Microsoft not own Nokia? No,
I think
did they?
Maybe.
Oh, I never thought about that. No, because the phones are leased to a company called HMD, I think.
Her Majesty's Dick.
No,
I quite like Ulefone, which are quite good. They still have the stock Android on, but they're a Chinese company that are quite good and quite cheap robust.
I got this one thinking it was stock Android because a lot of the Nokia ones, the cheaper Nokia ones were, but apparently this model fucking isn't. I was like, for fuck's sake. So I spent about an hour going through every single app on the phone. No, do not let AI strip all my data, blah 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 blah.
But yeah, no, for me it's banking and breakdown service.
I thought you were gonna say breakdancing.
Breakdown service, and I was on obviously I live in the country, so there's a lot of country roads, and I had to give them directions because the road I was on was not on their maps, and I was like, oh my god, that's just it was such a drag at a time when you don't want a drag, you know. And I was like, you know what, it's worth getting the app, you know.
I'm not massively privacy minded, but we all lean that way, you know, Linux users.
Well, because your phone's got so much going through it, you know. I mean, that's why I tend not to let my email go through the phone. Google email because you have to have a Google account for half the stuff.
If there's a trade-off with convenience, so like something like that, that's like it's not like the fucking RAC are getting a shit ton of data off you, you know. It's
And you're almost forced to use the thing for your banking.
The website
version is just so fucking cumbersome, and I think they're just never going to update it because they want you on an app where they can try and because my bank app throws fucking ads at me and stuff. It's like fuck right off. Usually it's just like localized things like, oh, we've got this service and that's it, you know. It's just those upselling type of ads all the time. And it's like, show me the fucking thing that I wanted to look at, you know.
We're dealing with adult topics now. I only noticed the other month.
Oh, this is getting scary.
That I don't get interest on my current account anymore. I mean, it was nothing because I've never had anything in there. But you used to get you know, when you got monthly statement, you've a little bit like 2 pence of interest, whatever. Just doesn't you don't get it anymore.
Even savings accounts, unless it's like one of those we're serving tax dodgers and bastards type saving accounts.
If it's just
a normal savings account that any human can just walk in and open,
the percentage is really low.
Because it's the same way. All the money is moving to the super rich, and all the tax dodging and tax breaks and all that stuff move to the super rich. So middle class people can't make it. You know, they get a hugely overpriced mortgage. They get a
The rich benefit from inflation, and the rich benefit from interest, whereas the poor suffer from interest and suffer from inflation.
Exactly.
So when Hamish said there wasn't much to talk about in this episode, quite wrong, clearly.
You know what I meant? When I meant this episode, I meant...
No, I just want to say,
I'm kind of interested to see if their plan will work about going into the... It's a sensible. It's the best they've got, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the only structure they know has survived a long time, and you know that these structures here, you know, these huts and things.
Although it makes me uncomfortable that they are like the water's coming in and they're going like below ground level.
That's the worrying part. Yeah,
not much option really.
Yeah, well, and also apparently
we also presume though that it's going to splash over then settle as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but we don't know how long that will take. That might take a few days.
I don't think it's that bad. It's a tsunami, so it's a short, powerful burst of water. Okay.
All right.
If it was just big waves, that'd be different. But it's a super powerful. I mean, a tsunami is like a super powered wave front.
I mean, it'll take a while to dissipate out on that. Like,
yeah.
Well, we'll see that in the next episode or two, I presume.
We did see in this episode, this isn't really going to be on any section that we're talking about, but lady who's on the Rocinante, her husband, being a whiny fucking cunt again. I really don't like it. And then poisoning the daughter.
Yeah, why tell the daughter about that?
Not why tell her, but he's clearly told her a bullshit version, because the mum... She was heroic. She did a thing that wasn't intended to hurt anybody. Shit went wrong, and then she did the thing that hurt the least people. She was saving lives.
We discussed all this previously.
But the husband doesn't know that.
The husband's not asked.
Maybe he should think better of his fucking wife, the whiny little fucking piece of shit. I hate him. He pisses me off so much.
He doesn't deserve that hot a wife, that's for sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, well, she can just run into the arms of Alex then, and then maybe she won't be.
I think Alex thinks that.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to be honest. I don't know. This is. You know, it's like I'm pretty sure I've grown. I don't know if it's ever since finding out he's a creep. I still don't know the details of it, to be honest. But it has definitely. I don't know if it's tarnished him or whether or not he is actually a bit of a creep.
I think he's a bit of a creep.
Yeah, I think he is a bit of a creep, and he's not as good at the Alex character had potential to be something, and when you've not watched it for a while, you think he's a bit more warm and fuzzy and personal than he is, and he's not.
But really. I didn't know about his real life creepery until this time through. Every time I've watched it, he's always like there's something slimy about him. I think the writers sort of go out of the way to make him look like a dick.
Especially later in the series, I was going to say something, but, you know, future. Incidentally, sorry to go slightly off topic again on this show, but I've not watched the actual film recently. But I've just watched a documentary about the making of Apocalypse Now. And I was just thinking, with your shaved head,
about the making of Apocalypse Now.
Yes.
So not a documentary about Apocalypse Now.
No,
a documentary about
the making of Apocalypse Now.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it's almost as sort of freaky and spacey as the actual film is. It's not a new thing. It's been out for a long time, but I just realized I hadn't seen it. It's been 1990s, maybe this was it. and it's called Hearts of Darkness, specifically.
I've seen that.
It's mostly made by his wife, by Coppola's wife, because she was doing like production diaries and making videos, so it wasn't meant to be kept for this sort of thing. And there was like private conversations that she recorded for, you know, again, for production diaries and her own purposes. And then they decided that this actually might make a good documentary. And it's weird. And it shows up a lot of how fucking childish Hollywood is, that all the Hollywood papers and everything were all picking on him the whole fucking time he was trying to make a film. They didn't have any stake in it. He was paying for it himself. He was financing it. So why the fuck did they care? It's just gossip and tittle-tattle. It's really stupid, you know?
I didn't realise that...
It shielded George Lucas from a lot, I reckon, because it was all about the same sort of time period. And George Lucas was getting a lot of shit, but he was kind of like... Because he didn't, he wasn't really known yet, and Coppola had
maybe that's why they were picking them, because they were kind of operating outside of the Hollywood
structure. They didn't like that.
So hang on, just to clarify, so Francis Ford Coppola self-funded Apocalypse Now.
Yes.
Oh my god, he self-funded Megalopolis as well.
He's not a money-oriented person with the looks of things. He just gets like really into his projects. I mean, and I'll tell you what, we talked about this before. I'm not a fan of the Godfather movies and stuff. And I know that people say, oh, it's good. But if you're going to see a Francis Coppola film that's really fucking good, Apocalypse Now is always
I was going to say, I'm not a fan of Apocalypse Now. I don't think it's a very good film. I think the
original cut has got problems.
Mm.
But the whole feel of it is brilliant. The Redux version has got the feel and a better cut, but it's a bit... Like, there's some extraneous stuff. What I haven't watched at all yet, but came out a few years ago, 79, so 89. But 5 years ago now, was the I think it's called the final cut or something. It's, you know, it's the 40th anniversary one that Coppola was involved in redoing. I mean, he was involved with the redo of the Redux one as well.
Chris was saying what laws he would make if he was king of the world earlier. I can't remember what it was.
Who?
If I was...
Tesco, like club cards.
Yeah, you ban club cards.
Oh, laws. I thought you said Chris was talking about what laws he would make, and I was thinking there was some guy called Lawsy out there. You know, like somebody whose surname was Laws and his nickname was Lawsy.
It's I'd probably
take that a step further and say I would just ban all special offers. If something costs what something costs, sell it as is, right?
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. You know. But no, I would ban, when you, if you, I would say, my law. But
that's
the
problem.
Before I forget, that's the problem
with capitalism, though, is that the actual value of something is completely irrelevant.
It's divorced.
It's a game. It's a game that they play.
In my world, if you make a film, you get to do one cut of it, and that's it. You never get to fucking touch. There's no fucking director's cut.
I think that's unfair for a lot of reasons, though, and that's because
as an audience, I cannot be fucked. And also, they abuse it now. They do. Any sort of high profile film, they'll do the normal release, and then here's the director's cut. Fuck off.
I agree with you there that they've taken it too far.
But even with the other thing, I don't care. If you fucked it up, if the studio fucked, that's the film. Tough. That's it. That's the film. Learn, do better next time. Don't sign a contract that's that, whatever.
Well, that's a point.
I'm sure you ban shorts as well while we're at it.
No, I'd allow shorts.
He'd shoot men in shorts.
Then we know who to target when the revolution comes.
Oh, right. I mean, surely people that are determined to wear long trousers in the middle of a really hot summer are more sussy than, you know.
What are they hiding?
Mad dogs and Englishmen and all that.
Yeah.
I would ban feet, though. At birth, in my world, at birth, your feet get removed and replaced with, like, maybe nicely carved wooden sort of, like, little podules that you can walk on.
Podules.
What about the springy things at the
as an adult later on, you can choose to have those, but you just get
or just hooks.
Just monkey around upside down.
Have those things that you know you get them in I think it's maybe a circus thing where it's like a hook that you can undo. You're just flicking it the right way and they jump around hoops and everything. Might be an athletics thing, I don't know. Certainly, it's used a lot in fantasy stuff. You know, like dragon riders hanging upside down from things. But I've seen like real life things that do that. And what the fuck they are? Something I would break my neck trying out. You know, like oh, it goes on like this and off like
kind of like a I think they're called carabiners.
Carabiner, no, but like a carabiner, but it's more. It's more you can manipulate it.
Right.
It's not. It's not as safe as a carabiner. Because a carabiner locks.
Yeah.
But it's like a one-way carabiner that you can unlock the other way by twisting it the right way or something. A bit like cycling things where your pedals aren't pedals, they go with the shoes.
Oh yeah.
And you get trapped on them when you fall over and stuff. I can never use them.
Break your legs.
Yeah. We haven't talked about Bobby in this bit.
Bobby's having so much fun.
I'm still uncomfortable with the whole Bobby. I know the morality is. I understand what you said about the guy and he's right in a way and everything, you know, but I still feel like Bobby's. I think Bobby would have just got the fuck out of it all rather than change sides, as it were.
You know? Like, I get your. First of all, I contextualize it by saying this is clearly like a society in decline.
We might as well
pick over the boat before, you know, maybe a new regime will come in and enliven it again. But clearly, this is a society that's going down the.
Well, they did. A drummer says that, doesn't she? She has that conversation with Ashford that this isn't the Mars that they're used to fighting or something like that.
That came from Marco, didn't it? Marco said that to Ashford.
Does that
context? And then also, yes, what she's doing now isn't the most morally justifiable thing, but is it less morally justifiable than being in a military, regardless of what military it is?
I don't think there's... Yeah, I mean, they're doing as much difference.
I know you weren't, like, necessarily, you know...
Yeah, but I think Martin's right. It's like she has every right to be like, fuck you, Mars, for everything they did.
I can see it all, but I just feel uncomfortable.
But also,
but she is having a lot of fun.
She's having fun, and it's nice to see her having fun.
After she,
you know, twists that dude's, that's not an elbow, what's that called?
That's a wrist.
Wrist.
That's the one. She twists the dude's wrist, and she walks away, and she's just like, she looks really pleased with herself. Like, just like, that was fun, and it's nice.
Sorry, Drew, it's a wisty poo.
He gives that man a boo boo on his wisty poo,
and also like she's like, first of all, that guy that bought the wrong codes, he's got to be reprimanded in whatever the criminal way is.
It's Chris the Mafia boss.
I go and get my shirt and my bases back on.
He was rude to Bobby. Right, and then Bobby came in and saved the day. So Bobby, employee of the month, absolutely. This guy, I don't know, space him or something, because he's such a dick. But
space
also,
him. Oh my god,
the coats you got are wrong. That could have cost the entire operation.
Oh, that guy. He was a twat.
I love the
idea at their like mafia like front organize. You know, like Mars Oil Corp, and they've got like employee of the month.
Employee of the month for Bobby, and that guy. I mean, he can't get an equal share.
Why should he still get the same share?
I see your point, and you're not wrong. But
you could have just made any old bullshit up. And when he goes, my code doesn't work, sorry. And then gets a share of the job. Like
You do a bit of checking whether he was just like bullshitting. If he's bullshitting, then obviously he gets executed. But if it was an honest mistake, then it's an honest mistake. Like he bought the codes he was supposed to buy. It was the person who sold the codes who was fucking him over. That's not his fault.
That's not his fault, but it's his responsibility. So
how would he know?
No, that's the thing. It doesn't matter how you know. You either check or you don't put the.
There's no way to check.
Well, he could have went there and tried the codes.
But then that would be
no, 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 no. It's not that there's no way to check. You put that on your honor. That's how it goes. Now, I'm not saying he should necessarily get nothing.
He should get something
for like carrying and participating and, you know, the general hazard pay of committing a crime.
These
but
codes,
he shouldn't.
They're wrong.
Yeah.
You've got the late Brando hairdo for it. You know.
But he should just take a cut. And maybe a spanking. Medium level spanking.
He might like that from Bobby or
I will say,
Lily,
regarding this whole operation and what goes on and all the shenanigans. Why the terraforming tower?
Yeah.
Why does it not have a door at the base?
I know the whole thing's weird. It's yeah that.
So if somebody,
I didn't want to say this because I felt like I was going to like I feel like you know I'm disappointing puppies sometimes when I'm telling things to you guys, but the whole heist seemed pretty contrived and not very well thought out from a writer's point of view. It was convenient, you know. You had to have the MacGuffin, and then Bobby saves the day, and that was all needed. That was the structure of what you needed for a heist. But I just felt, there's too many logic errors in the way that the thing's set up, and you know, three pneumatic. Pneumatic?
Hydraulic.
Hydraulic, sorry. Three hydraulic things to... Yes, like, none of the... Because, you know, they pay a lot of attention to details and technical stuff in this show. Mm. And that whole thing seemed like it was written just for the heist part. And they never...
How about the fact that she only had just enough air in the oxygen suits?
I know.
Very convenient,
Another...
Yeah. Couldn't she just switch tanks around or something like that? Like, I know that she, being a taller lass, like, probably needs...
She was an elite marine and stuff as well, so...
I mean, she could fit into a man's outdoor... She'd be in men's sizes, right? Like, with space suits.
Or tall people's sizes.
The tall people size
gender
or
oh no yeah no, see I'm gonna show that I'm not down with young people. I can't remember if it's gender or whatever the right word is now, but
no, gender's the right word. Like the well
yeah her gender shouldn't come into it, you know.
No I think they're unisex, you know. You're seeing more, you know. I think tall, they should be unisex,
just height really.
Well, the thing is really where gender comes into it is shoe sizes, because women have different shoe sizes to men for some reason. I've never understood why.
So hang on, my niece has replied. She says, I don't know, but it was quite big.
Oh, okay.
Right, there you go.
I suppose like she might not know, like I mean, it's hard. Like,
this conversation is just going to go in the wrong way, isn't it?
A dream is like about a feeling, isn't it? It's not. You don't have measurements in dreams, do you? You have like vague ideas.
Measurements in dreams.
You don't, do you? You don't. None of the maths in my dream ever works
out.
That
was almost like Kamala Harris-esque.
You don't have measurements in dreams.
No measurements in dreams.
Oh dear me. Oh, she could have won that election if she had. She could have.
You know, at least anybody that's argued with us over the last few years can't really, you know, say, oh, you were wrong, Hamish. It's like they're literally doing all the fascist things now. So, you know.
It's
don't
they are, they are doing, they are.
They're doing what Republicans do.
No, it's way beyond that.
This is extra. Going
over the heads of all the Republicans in government.
Are well on the road to fascist anyway. Yeah. They, you know, the Republicans weren't. It's not like the Republicans weren't fascist adjacent back when fucking Reagan.
America's fascist adjacent.
Yeah.
There's no less. I mean, fucking Clinton with the crime bill.
Let's move on.
Okay, yeah, all right, yeah.
We've been here so many times and Drew's wrong, so let's just move on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So,
it's the semantics when it's... Anyway.
Okay, yeah.
Penises.
So Bobby's an employee of the month. Yeah, and also like...
employee of the month.
I'm interested to see what Bobby will... How this will ingratiate her into the crime world. Like, will she be...
Did you
be a top level henchman?
I mean, you kind of saw that everybody was sort of like, even Grumpy Girl was like sort of congratulating
slightly
her,
impressed,
calling a hero, and
her and Lily obviously don't like each other, but I think that's more to do with what she did to Bobby's nephew than anything else.
I think it's also like Bobby's like the muscle, and what's her name?
Lily.
Lily's like an assassin-y type, sneaky assassin-y type. Yeah. So they've got almost the relationship she had with Spy.
But what I don't like about this is that he say when she asks them outright, did she, you know, was it them that killed that dock worker? And he says, "Don't worry, I don't work that way."
Yeah.
And then she says, "Yeah, but does she work that way?" And it's like, is that plausible deniability from?
No. I don't trust them still.
I think they're still.
I don't think he did that. I think he was being honest when he said, "I don't work that way," because makes sense.
Did Lily?
Yeah, also,
I think that's her. That's her trying to take credit for something that she didn't do. It's her trying to be like a badass.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
She was there at the time in a disguise.
She wants to appear tough.
Yeah, but she was there at the time. Pardon me. In disguise at the time.
Yeah, but they wouldn't. I don't think they do that if they didn't have to.
I don't even know if Lily has it in her. To be honest, she doesn't seem that particularly dangerous.
Yeah, she's not as tough. She's nowhere near as tough as, you know.
Well, no, I think she's sneaky assassin. I think she may have killed people, but like, you know.
So do you think she killed that dock worker?
No. Why would they?
Lily.
Well, her. Yeah. If you're trying to get away with profitable crimes,
yeah, you don't want to draw attention.
You don't do side crimes that have, you know, more severe punishments for no reason.
Yeah.
I think she's just trying to be a badass. Like, maybe I did that. Maybe I'm that cool. But it had that feel to it.
The fact that you're even discussing this seems to imply that we don't know who done it.
No, we don't know who done it. No.
Yeah.
As far as I remember.
To be honest, in the TV, she doesn't really get resolved. No.
So the way that I'm thinking is,
there's not much in the books either. Actually,
I don't know. I kind of feel that Lily does do it then, because who else would? Or did he just fall into the locker and?
This is it. Maybe there's more crime going on than just this one.
I mean, he was the one who was like, "Can you steal some more stuff?" So he probably had. This is just me, you know, headcanoning, isn't it? But like, you know, maybe he tried to make contact with somebody and like, "I could do some crimes for you," and got into some dodgy people or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been an associate. It could have been how Lily maybe paid someone to gain access to something.
And they might have done it.
They might have knocked
somebody off to get them out of the way. Or it may have been a panic thing and they knocked them off to get out of the way. Yeah.
Because when they're robbing the terraforming tower, like the dude who's there who threatens Bobby, they don't kill him.
No, they don't. Like, but was that because Bobby was there and they wanted to keep him on site?
I think he's genuine when he says we don't operate like that. He's not an evil person. He's just trying to make some money out of a blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying he's a morally good person, but he's not, you know, he's not vicious for the sake of being vicious or anything. He seems kind of quite nice.
And also, like, the guard had himself pretty well locked in. It might have been more trouble than it was worth anyway.
So well, it's better in terms of, you know, no witnesses and all that. It would have been simpler and better to kill him. But they just tied him up and stuff, which suggests they you know, they don't kill unless they have to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it doesn't quite make sense to, like, if people start dying, even, you know, and say, for example, more than a couple, then, you know, you start getting those guys in the white suits, you know, dusting for prints and forensics. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, I wonder what you were doing. Yeah, there's a word for all this.
I don't know. I mean, Lily doesn't look like she can fight. So, I mean, you say that she might be an assassin type, but I don't know. She just looks like
I think stabby, poisony. She can stab. Anybody can stab somebody in the back. You know, it's nothing. You don't have to be physical to do that.
And also, to be fair, actually, she's not actually that short. It's just everyone around her.
Quite tall. Yeah.
She's actually Lily. Actually, seems actually reasonably tall.
Yeah,
for a woman.
Quite tall. Yeah.
I would say maybe 5'8".
Yeah.
If I was to take a guess.
Yeah. Maybe.
And then what's Bobby? Do we know how tall Bobby is?
Yeah, we worked out 5'10". I think we found out 5'10", 5'11".
I reckon she's taller than 5'10".
I think she's. Yeah, I think she's. She was a little bit taller than me. I think. Yeah.
I would say 6'1".
No.
Maybe 6 foot.
Frankie Adams.
Well, she is wearing boots. Maybe the height. Boots might add a bit.
Mm-hmm. 5'11".
5'11".
5'11".
5'11".
Okay.
Not quite.
So yeah, 5'11". That's believable.
Meet you halfway.
Oh, my hair's bugging me.
So then, how tall is Martin? Like, he's like 5'9" then.
Oh, he's so Martin. I don't know.
Oh, Bobby's got a bit of height on the hair as well. That might be some, you know, like.
Yeah,
she's wearing the boots and she's got the hair. Like she's going to be taller appearing than. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, no, what you said's right. Like, she's probably, that woman is like probably quite a tall woman. She's just surrounded by even more tall people.
Yeah. It's. Well, sucks to be her then.
Right.
Great muscle, though.
Sorry, something else just came into my. While I was passing by other things, I noticed that Angela Rayner's still banging on about building more houses, which is fucking stupid when we've got more empty houses than homeless people.
Mm. Yeah,
but obviously you don't want to talk about that. So shut up. All the other things we talk about, and that makes you go quiet.
No, I was thinking, like, they want to fix everything with market mechanisms. Like, if it's too expensive, produce more of it, and then the price will fall, rather than going, price controls is what we need.
Yeah. Rent control and tax on empty properties.
Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, there are, I think they,
5'4", apparently, is all she is.
Sure. Oh, that's quite short. Oh. Maybe she's wearing lifts or something.
Mm.
There are quite a lot of local councils that are bringing in 2x council tax for
which is what they should be doing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you want to rent somewhere out, that's fine. But if you're driving people away, by having extortionate rents and, you know, out of control fucking letting agents and everything, you know. When Alan said what his budget was for renting a property, to cover us both, because obviously I'll lose everything that I've got security wise in terms of a house and things. Anyway, when he was talking about his budget, I thought, are you really going to get somewhere big enough for two people with that? And it is. It seems like the way that private rents work. It seems to be that they want a big chunk of money, no matter what, and then there's just little increments on top of that, depending on the size. Mm. So a small place is like so much closer to the price that
looking at. I was thinking, like, the place you're looking at, that's pretty cheap. That's about what you would pay for a room in a shared, you know.
Yeah, I was expecting, you know, that was like a three-bedroom or whatever. I thought a three- or four-bedroom house would be like twice what a one or two is, and it's not. It kind of doesn't go up as much after a certain point.
I think the real way to fix it is, people are making money off asset price inflation. We just need to tax the shit out of that.
Yeah, that's it. That's
What about just a maximum of one house per person?
Well, it's not just houses. It's like it's billionaires owning like office buildings, you know, and like if they rent it out, that's a side benefit, but what they care about is the value going up, so they're just making money by owning it, and that's the problem.
So, like, what if all office space was just like
it's linked to other things, because the reason they're putting all their money into property, because when they put all their money into property, it guarantees that property will inflate. Because that's the thing they're putting the money into.
Yeah.
Reason they're putting their money into that is because the economy is unproductive. If the economy was productive, they would be investing in businesses, in, you know, business opportunities, business, you know, whatever, R&D in within businesses and stuff, but they're not. They're doing that, and they're doing share buybacks because there's nothing productive to invest in, and that's the fault of the government.
Yep. That's it. Well, there was somebody talking about that with... God, who's the Chancellor? Reeves. I keep forgetting her fucking name. Rachel Reeves. She's just following the George Osborne playbook, and it didn't fucking work. Why keep doing it? You know, it's like it's crazy.
There was some interesting chatter on Mastodon over the past few days about how important it is for a government to have like big works, you know, big projects.
To keep
a little bit like the Mars thing with the terraforming.
It has knock-on effects.
And it has, and like morale matters. Like if if you're building, I can't imagine a big bridge or something to connect us to Ireland, for example.
Yeah,
like, can't see any problem with that at all.
Can't see any problem with that. No. I mean, it's
maybe
like
a ramp.
I mean,
a ramp would be more practical.
A ramp, yeah.
It's one way then. A ramp and a big land and crash mat thing at one end.
Yeah.
Mm. Then, I mean, not only does it sort of supply jobs, but it gives people the impression that stuff is growing and heading in a progress direction.
Yeah. It's good vibes. It feels like a productive place. But more than that, like so you get that, you get the bridge, you get the good vibes, you get the knock-on effects of having a bridge, which means transportation's better and blah blah blah. You get that.
People are learning skills.
All the money, yeah. People are learning skills. You're building up that ability to build big projects. What China has,
and the money that is made,
and top of that, all the money that you're paying to people, they go and spend it, gets taxed multiple times. You usually get more back than you pay. This is why government should spend money, because you get more back than you fucking pay, and you get all these benefits on top of that.
It's like a business investment where they want to claw and hold on to it. Yeah. And there was a thing, there was an article the other day.
While selling off all their assets, which a business would never fucking do in that way.
Yeah, exactly. Government is selling their property. Yeah, that's it. They want to be like a business, but then they do things that are the opposite of what a business would do. Mm. And then government bonds, the way the banks are working, they're shorting government bonds as well.
So the government
bonds never go to maturity, and they never make money for the country.
But they're selling
assets. And then they bail out the bank again.
They're selling assets off to private capital and then renting them back.
Yeah.
Which is the dumbest fucking... You own a house, sell it to somebody and then rent it back off.
That's corruption. That feels like corruption.
That's the problem. That's why nothing's changed. That's why
Rayner
has been the biggest letdown. Mm. I mean, most of this lot that came in, I knew they were just coming in to stick their nose in the trough for a little while and get it, especially fucking Keith.
They've given up making money out of productive, activity, and they just want to they want to impoverish the public realm and impoverish normal people. Just take money off of that, and that's how they're making their money currently.
I mean, I don't know if I'm being naive. I didn't think they'd be as bad as they were.
I didn't expect them to be this bad.
I didn't expect them to change much, but I didn't think they would actually actively continue to make it worse.
Because Gulf War aside, they're making Blair look good.
Yeah. Apart from the war crimes, they're just at home. Everything's just fucking worse.
I mean, at least Blair was smart. Like,
I don't think Blair was smart, but I think Campbell was smart.
But Rayner, I really thought that Angela Rayner had some fucking thing on.
Well, Blair did. I mean, I can't believe I'm fucking essentially defending. But Blair, they did the child tax credits. They brought the minimum wage in. They did some of the stuff that Labour governments. They did terrible stuff as well, privatisations and PPI and whatever. Mm. But they did do at least some of the stuff that a Labour government's supposed to do. This Labour government's doing Tory plus more.
Yeah, because I mean, to be fair as well, again, I can't believe I'm sort of going down this road of defending New Labour, but they did shorten waiting times.
They
actually spent money on it.
Everything in the social realm got slightly bit okay, financially maybe not, certainly not in terms of international relations, because he's a fucking war criminal, in terms of domestic policy, if you like, the public stuff, things got a bit better,
I mean, they were kind of mortgaging the future by selling stuff off to blah blah and doing public private. But in the immediacy of the present,
the
public
realm
was getting better.
It wasn't very long term thinking, but it was at least a slight improvement. No. Whereas these guys, and like I say, the one that's disappointed me the most out of all of them is Rayner, because I really thought Rayner had a bit of. I thought she had something on Starmer. I really did think she had something on Star Wars. Yeah, that's the only reason she was getting to stay around. But what it turns out is she's just as bad as the rest of them. She's just another one of them in it for herself.
Because left-wing commentators all the way, from Starmer's selection as leader, like left-wing commentators on YouTube, or whatever, like they're all like, Rayner's good. Like, at this next point, we'll see Rayner doing good stuff, and then at this next point, we'll do it. Yeah. Never coming. Never fucking coming.
Yeah. If anything, she's just got worse.
Yeah,
and it's quite frightening. Possibly just as maybe she'll get the job of prime minister or something down the road or something. Assuming that
and then be constrained by the exact same thing she's constrained by in this position.
Exactly. Yeah, and then get ousted by fucking Poundland fascists, but they're certainly the same the same colour and branding. Not the same branding, sorry, the same the same style as
it's the, it's the same carnival barking, it's the same grift. It's
it's the same thing,
But
can you, I mean,
Farage
to be honest,
Trump.
We've had like, we had Boris Johnson, and it just things just got fucking even worse from there. That was it. I mean, Boris Johnson, that was the arse falling out of the country, letting him be in charge. That's our version of Trump. It's complete the political class completely fucking taking their masks off and saying fuck it, we'll we'll do anything.
What was the name? What was the name of the
Trust
the
as pig, well.
The pig fucker. Who was the pig fucker?
David Cameron.
The fact that I look on Cameron fondly.
Oh, I wouldn't say fondly. Like not, I would never.
No,
say
not, not not only Osborne's Labour.
Osborne was worse than Cameron. I'll
give
you
Osborne
that.
Was. Yeah,
Osborne
yeah, yeah.
was a much more of a cunt as a councillor than Osborne. Cameron was his prime minister.
This Labour government is not only making me look back on Blair fondly; it's making me look back on Cameron fondly. Cameron was a more social democrat, more of a social democrat than.
Right up until he bent over and took in the Brexit bollocks to try and appease that side of the party, which also splintered.
To be fair to him,
that was his big wrong move, that might have made him look like still a Tory cunt, but at least responsible.
But he just miscalculated that. Chalk that down to any level of stupidity you like.
And it was a reasonable miscalculation because everything suggested.
I would have thought.
But the thing I do blame him for is before the referendum, he said, regardless of the result, I'm not going to resign. I will continue leading us, for my term.
And then came in
and he resigned. I do blame him for that because that was destabilizing.
Thing is, like, I know people say he resigned over Brexit, but like, It was right after the pig fucking.
He resigned over Brexit, but for party reasons, not for political country reasons. That's what that is.
I think he was pushed out. To be fair,
He probably had to go. But
yeah,
of all of this, in my adult lifetime, the only prime minister that's been anywhere near halfway decent. It's fucking scary to say this, but John Major. And that was mostly because he didn't do as much damage as all the rest.
He actually seemed like
a politician who was interested in doing politics
the most effective politicians in our lifetime, but the most effective prime ministers in our lifetime, Thatcher and Blair, without a doubt. They changed the country the most.
Even as she's screaming down in hell, I think she's probably looking up and thinking, Jesus, they've gone too far.
I think when I see,
because once you gut everything out, you can keep scamming the people with the right wing bollocks. You can keep pulling an extra penny every now and again out of the poorest people, but if you completely gut it and they can't afford to fucking heat their house.
Yeah. Oh, I think she would recognise that. I think they're harming capitalism, and she wouldn't like that.
Exactly. They're hurting their own system.
Yeah, and at least
and that's what makes me laugh about the American situation. It's like, really, these are two people with quite opposing agendas, because they're both just absolute narcissists in it for themselves. One of them is the de facto president with no oversight, and the other one's a fucking idiot who keep letting them do it. But they've actually got quite different aims and everything. I mean, even the racism's completely different. The racism is entirely different, because Musk would rather have slave labor than turf out
everybody. Musk is a good old traditional racist.
He's from the South African tradition, isn't he?
His
family moved into South Africa to take advantage of apartheid.
You were going to say something there, Chris.
What was I going to say? What about an honourable? Well, no. I was going to just Gordon Brown.
Honourable mention.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have. Yeah, if he'd got the premiership earlier, it might have not been so bad.
Yeah.
Prime minister that never was.
Even though he had it for a while, he wasn't really doing anything except treading water until he got tough.
And then you've got
to think that fucking Clegg could have taken advantage of that and had a genuine coalition. At that point,
now,
Clegg and Brown would have.
Clegg and Brown could have been
better for the people.
Yeah. And the SNP would have been Clegg Brown and the SNP.
Yeah, and also better for the Liberals. They wouldn't have looked like such complete shits. You know, they either got the blame for everything, or everything they wanted to do got taken away from them anyway, and they looked like liars. So how did they not know? I mean, that was a fucking scorpion on the back of a...
For all of the pros of the Liberal Democrats that we can give them, and there are a few, they're maybe the least transphobic of the major parties right now. One of the things I think we can all agree on is they're not savvy, right? It's like a party dinner ladies.
They've always been kind of like parochial.
Not dinner ladies. I would say like headmasters.
Oh right, yeah.
Dinner ladies would have a bit of savvy.
They're more street than a headmaster.
Or like people that own flower shops, or
a few florists.
I do kind of wish that the Lib Dems just would sharpen their teeth a little bit and see what they could do.
They need to fuck off. Yeah, we've got.
They can't do anything. So, no, to me, since Clegg,
we've already got two neoliberal parties. Why do we need a third neoliberal party?
Exactly. Yeah. They need to do something different, or
they could shift leftwards. I reckon
be almost right of centre. Then
no. I genuinely believe
There's nobody near the centre.
No.
Maybe the SNP before all the corruption was kind of close to the centre.
I think the thing is with the Liberal Democrats, of course, is that they're like all their internal stuff is decided democratically. If all of the left people in Labour or the Corbynites shifted over to the Liberal Democrats and then just did a takeover, I think you could drag the Liberal Democrats to the left relatively straightforward.
You could, but then you've got the. I don't think they're a good brand, and I hate to use that word.
You wouldn't sell it so easily.
I think we need a left equivalent of UKIP. We need an insurgent, proper, charismatic leftist party. I mean, Corbyn keeps talking about it or alluding to it, but it needs to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if he wants.
That's the thing. It needs to happen.
Corbyn might feel that he's tried it, and I mean, he was the clone. I mean, and outside of the media, he was incredibly fucking popular.
Vote-wise,
it was way more popular than any of the recent parties. You know, party results have been.
Yeah, so, got more votes than Starmer.
Not the most charismatic dude. Somebody with his politics and a bit of charisma.
He was given a lot of opportunity to be in sort of charismatic places. So yeah, something.
But he had some awful advisors as well. I think that let him down. I think
the party were undermining him from within the whole time.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Which was part of the problem. I'm sure some of the advisors were on that team of underminers.
Yeah. If Corbyn was allowed to be himself, I think we would see some more dorky charisma that might have.
He needed to lean that way because that's what he really
just be himself. But
he was. He didn't even expect to win, so I think he was flailing a little bit at that point. But he won't do it. But the person to bring in a new, like a left wing Farage, would be Mick Lynch, the union guy.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah,
he'd never do it. Like he's retired.
He's more interested in union than party politics. Something like that, I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody with that sort of thing. I mean, I was actually quite sorry. It wasn't until I watched that Michael Moore doc, the most recent one, I think it was, when I didn't realise that Bernie had actually won the Democratic votes, and he should have been the candidate rather than...
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't realise how blatant it was, though. I thought publicly it was okay, but privately it was all manipulated. But no, it was just publicly they just said, and the winner is the person over there, not the... No, don't look at the person with the votes, look over there. That was a fucking weird setup.
And again, that's why the lefts need to take over the Republicans, because...
They're more democratic.
I mean, I know it sounds like an impossible solution, but the fact of the matter is, it's not going to be the Democrat part of the game.
More so in because in the UK we've got the Conservative Party who have a very fixed ideology. They come from a very particular tradition. We have the Labour Party who similarly come from, well, they've abandoned it, but they come from a very particular tradition. Yeah. Whereas in, you know, in America, like 60 years ago, the Democrats were the racist party. The Democrats were the pro-slavery, courting the racist vote in the South party. Well, up, you know, back into obviously pre Civil War, but also post Civil War, right? I mean, Carter even was like fairly racist. They were the racist. You know, they're not inherently the better party. You know, it was a Republican Party that ended slavery. The Democrats were against it. The Republicans could go back to a more sort of small business. I mean, that's kind of what Trump is, though, is a problem. But a small business
With the Dems populism. That's the thing. The
Dems don't have nothing. Yeah.
They have nothing.
They're the party of
we're not bankers. As bad as the other guy.
Well, they're the party of the bankers. They're the party of global capital. The Republicans are the party of local capital, really.
I mean, it's a little bit like, but this is more of a vibes thing, is the coastal elite type of thing, isn't it? Where it's like, like the LA business scene, you know, big wealth generator. But, you know, of course, a lot of businesses now just leaving for Texas. So I don't know how long.
Yeah.
I don't even understand how LA works as a place, because it was built on a desert. It needs a weird amount of resources just to exist. Mm. It keeps getting battered by wildfires.
That's like, why it makes me laugh when you see talk of California going independent. It's like, okay, yeah, you generate a lot of money, but you got to buy all your water, all your food, electricity. I don't know, but like you understand, like that money would very quickly disappear if you had to pay for your stuff.
Yeah, like they got to do that thing that they did in The Simpsons and just move all of LA just like down. somewhere this I mean the north bit of California, like everyone just shifty up to the top of California.
Yeah, but the bit below is the bit that's, you know, most up its own arm. To be honest, I don't think Northern California really wants Southern Californians coming up there. I think California is quite well delineated at a certain point. You know,
that's where you get up into Oregon, Washington, and it's got a bit more of that kind of like political feel. I think
places like San Francisco don't really entirely align with like South California, Southern California at all.
I would quite like Denver, Colorado. That'd be like my American city. They have trams there, apparently.
Danny's just been there.
Oh, wow. Did she like it?
She was there for... Yeah. She was there for... In fact, I was with her for the drive from Kansas into Denver. And Did she say what? Sorry. I said it. Said it.
Sorry.
Not in Kansas anymore.
Oh, you're not in Kansas anymore. Okay.
But yeah, drive from... And so you go from complete... And she, you know, she had the dash cam, essentially, type thing. Mm-hmm. And you go from completely flat to eventually you just see these sort of mountains come over the horizon, and it's really cool. And Denver's just sort of before the mountains, so you sort of stop with the mountains in the background and here's your city kind of thing, and it's quite cool. Mm-hmm.
Sorry to keep
if us they up. Were gonna
I was just gonna
they
say
were gonna do a sorry if they were going to do like a big project works in California, I reckon, but this is obviously an impossible solution, reforest the entire state. Move everyone out.
I'm going to say it again. You need to read Ministry for the Future, because they literally do it in that.
Okay. But you need to do it big enough that you form the microclimate.
That's what they do. Yeah. Well, one of the things that happens in the book, it's the spoilers for Ministry of the Future. The opening crisis is a wet bulb 34 event in India, which is basically the temperature is literally too hot for humans to survive and millions of people die. And that sort of sets things rolling. And then there's a flood in California that just sort of washes LA away. And so the world starts to actually do, and then people start shooting down billionaires' jets and stuff like that, they solve the climate crisis. Basically, they try a lot of stuff, and some of it works and some of it doesn't, and they solve the crisis. And it's like it's sort of a
a speculative fiction idea of like how we could solve, you know, blah. And I think Chris in particular, I think, would really enjoy
take the billionaires out of the picture and you solve.
I think they bomb Davos at some point. It doesn't pull its punches.
it's quite clear that we need
a certain amount of violence to solve this problem.
I sort of went away for a bit there while you were talking a minute ago, and what I was doing was looking up a particular amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And I'm trying to find the correct, I couldn't remember which number it was, and that's why I was like clicking away trying to find them. And you were talking about slavery going away. Now, there's the thing that really pisses me off, particularly with the media and politicians saying, "Whoa, slavery's gone. We've solved it. We've done away with that." And this is the US and the UK. Two problems. Well, one big problem straight away is that yes, they banned it on paper in some ways. We'll come back to that in a minute. The 13th Amendment is one of my points. But the big problem that was that they then immediately paid all the slavers. Sent the slaves out to, like, you know, fuck you guys then. You're free. Mm-hmm. Go on, do what you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, all these guys have just lost property. We better give them money back. But that's probably the only way they got the thing through parliaments. It's probably that. But the other thing is, and particularly in America, it's a big problem, I say. Here, it's more of a sort of sneaky capitalism thing we've got here. Whereas in America, there's a very blatant way around it. And that's the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Very short.
Prisoners.
Eh?
Prisoners.
Yeah, yeah. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you know, conviction, blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's like, so slavery is banned except if we want to use prisoners as slaves.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like...
And like, what is a slave if not a prisoner? So
banning slave,
then you look at the United States and they have this huge population of Black Americans in prison.
Well, first of all, highest prison population. It's in the top, like.
Oh yeah, no, it is. It is far and away
the highest. And it's disproportionately Black and Hispanic. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's so what they've done. But I mean, over here in the UK, the difference there is it's not. See, in Britain, they took away the racial aspect of it completely. Although in some of the big cities, they still push that as the narrative, especially in the media, your knife crime and all that thing is always associated with Black people. But what it really is in Britain is much more to do with class.
Straight up class.
Yeah, and people that are poor in Glasgow or Liverpool or, you know, Newcastle or whatever, just identify just exactly the same as poor people in London, essentially. And it's all about keeping them in factories on, you know, pissy, you know, minimum wage in factories and stuff and
keeping them fighting each other on racial or gender or sexuality, or keep them fighting. We can't understand each other. We can't communicate. I do want to talk about just briefly. It's only tangentially relevant, but
there is a bit more expanse coming before the end of this video for anybody that's hanging on.
I just want to mention something that's interesting and often misunderstood. You know the 2/3 compromise in the Constitution. Regarding censuses. So, like, when they do a census, I think the wording is you count everybody and you count free people and 2/3 of, as it implies, like indentured people. So you count the white people and you count 2/3 of the Black people when you do a census. And that's usually, I think that when you hear that, you think, well, that's racist in itself. Like, the counting 2/3 of Black people is racist. We should count all of Black people. But when the Constitution was written, it was the racists, it was the slave owners who wanted to count all of Black people
for property,
and it was the anti-racist. For state power, because you get it's how many senators you get.
Oh, because then
they could keep slavery in effect if you're counting the Black people. Gotcha.
That was a mechanism to reduce. Yeah. So Black people that had no say and no power were being used as a counting mechanism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So they count 2/3 of them and they keep the
power. So why wasn't that fixed once they repealed? You know, why didn't that?
That wording is because they don't say Black people. You count free people and 2/3 of like other people or something like that, as in non-free people.
Yeah, so it, I think that's often misunderstood. There's a lot of compromises in the Constitution, and that's one of them. They were kicking the can down the road a lot with the Constitution.
Yeah, but then people think it's like, well, this is the problem with the religious type thinking, as they then treat the Constitution as if it's some super duper solid sacrosanct thing, like they do with the Bible and all that stuff, Except
that's why I'm fundamentally...
they conveniently skip the bits they don't like.
Our system of what's the term for it?
The unwritten constitution.
No, our constitution is made up of common law. I think is how it's
said.
Mostly,
yeah.
Rather than having a codified constitution, and I do think while that's dangerous because the only thing that's actually set in stone in our constitution is parliamentary sovereignty.
Yeah,
like nothing. Mm-hmm. There's no other fixed anything.
Which is why they've got to the point where they just do whatever the fuck they want.
But it does prevent that worshipping of a document and never changing it, because I think that's worse. I think that's actually worse.
But it's definitely
freaks me out, the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge that's allegiance insane. To the flag that's of the insane. United States.
And the fact that they make kids
do, the hell does like, that matter?
And you say they're just becoming fascist now?
Yeah, but they made kids do that in school every day. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I never said they were just becoming fascist. See, this is you trying to change... I'm not going to get into the semantics stuff again. Anyway, unless Chris, if you get something to say there.
Oh, I just got to say, I think part of the problem with the states on by and large is that it is such a stilted system. Like you can't change anything. Unless you're a fascist.
Unless you don't care about.
Unless you don't care about the rules, you can't change the rules. Yeah, it's crazy. Because they are, they're still talking. I mean, I've seen like little clips from TV shows where they're talking about it as if things perfect, as if things are perfectly normal. And well, how can we get the courts to fix that? You know, it's like no, these people are just blanket doing what the fuck. Oh, sorry, that was not the right arm movement to make.
That was an odd gesture.
It was an odd gesture. Yeah.
Hamish's heart is going out.
Yeah, my heart's going out to you. But yeah. It's like some sort of weird mass.
Are we at the point where we just need to nuke the US?
Well, they might do it themselves the way things are going. Jesus.
Like we're any better. I mean,
we are the 51st better countries state, than us. Better countries than us can sort it. Yeah. Which there are a few of, but not many. Anyway.
We have some good things about our country.
Go on.
Animal rights. We're one of the better countries for animal rights.
That's true. I think we've always been sort of.
Our CO2 emissions aren't as bad as a lot of other countries. We are actually.
The current government are trying to undermine that massively.
That is true. That's true. The 3-pin plug. Very well designed.
British standards. Yeah. The British standards system was excellent, and I think it was the foundation for a lot of other. I think.
Cornish pasties.
Queuing.
Fucking great.
Queuing. I mean, I know that's queuing.
Queuing. Yeah.
Queuing.
When I moved to Liverpool, they didn't queue. So it probably wasn't as bad as other countries, but they didn't queue like they do around here. Like people would just sort of cut in stuff. I was shocked. I didn't realize that was an option.
Is this legal?
Are you allowed to do that? Yeah. Right, well, I said, I did promise people before this video got too long and too near the end that we would talk about The Expanse again. And there is quite a big thing to talk about.
Go on.
Avicerella.
Is it my niece's dream cock?
No, but if you want to talk about Avicerella, you can do that.
She, believe it or not, was in this episode. She looks at the TV screen
blinking,
for a bit.
You miss it, yeah.
Because
they're talking about how they've lost contact with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And she's trying to blame the builders immediately. Oh, they've shut down the relay. Why? But she does use,
She's retreated. Yeah. She's retreated to us and them kind of thing.
Yeah, anyway. She has. Yeah. And either her or somebody in her main inner circle have decided to militarize inside the ring space.
I hate that bit where he's like, "We weren't asking for permission." Fuck off. Fuck off.
Measuring your office for curtains.
Condescending. Yeah, I like that bit. It's an ancient inner saying. That's great.
Yeah, I like what's his name? I forgot his name.
Ashford.
Thank you. I think Ashford, like, sort of you know, sort of does the old eye movement to drum it from drummer to the yeah, twat yeah. standing behind her, and she goes, sort of switches off the transparency.
Also, a nice look between them when she says, when they're talking about capturing Marcos again, and she says, I won't let him talk us around this time. And Ashford just looks at her like, us?
Yeah, like, yeah. It's like, don't fucking blame me for that one. This, yeah.
But, the one thing where we haven't mentioned is the laws of physics have changed again.
Fusion.
I wasn't Stop getting there yet. I've got another one.
Okay, what's yours?
That was on my list. It was on my... Well, let's talk about that one first then.
They're fucked, right? Unless that, Miller comes back, Drew? And
what did you say, Drew?
I can't remember.
Chris. Right. My hair's getting caught in my headphones.
The laws of physics no longer work, and unless Miller comes back to pull some levers, is something big going to go happening?
Pulled the levers? That's it. Seemed to be since the explosion on that island, doesn't it?
Well, a moon melted and made a spaceship disappear is one of the things.
Well, the spaceship just dissolved, didn't it? It looked like it just burned up in the atmosphere.
But it was red. It was the same, because the moon did a thing and they said the moon was melting and that was very red, and then the spaceship dissolved in a red way, so they see,
that happened. The spaceship went first, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Right, yeah.
So there's a moon melting, which we remember there was 13 points on the surface where they were striking. So I'm presuming that moon was over the point where the island exploded, just for symmetry, if nothing else. the pellets get fired. The radioactive pellets get fired into the reactor and don't, you know, fuse. Don't start fusing.
I love the way they show that. Try and fuse it. It glows a bit, bink. And then it just goes.
Bomb. Yeah, it just falls onto the ground. Yeah, it's like. Nah.
So we need
spark plugs.
They're all on a timer. The timer's ticking. The Rocinante's got the best batteries, so they've got the longest.
Yeah.
But the science
ship is not in a very good position either. And particularly the Beltler ship, because they went into low orbit to make it easier to raise and lower things, you know, to transfer supplies and stuff they'd mined. They're in a low orbit, which is going to decay fastest because they need quite a lot more power to maintain that orbit. So, everybody's in trouble. So it's not just the people on the surface, it's also the people up on the up in orbit.
Chris is kind of alluding to it. Like, they can't fix fusion. They're stuck there.
Even if they get out of the immediate danger, what they're going to do? They don't have any way
Because they say that,
life support or transport or trans... The word I'm looking for when you move things, you make them go.
Telekinesis.
Make you go stuff and life support. That's the problems they've got.
Power up. But also, if people coming in through the ring to help them,
if they get caught on it as well, when does it start? Especially if they can't communicate because of the low power.
I hadn't thought of that. That's
but at the moment, all we know for sure is that the relay section of the communication is not working. So I think it's the amount of power they need to send signals back, rather than.
Hang on a minute. Did the Beltlers actually turn off the relay?
No. That's
the relay. The relay is part of how the Behemoth community. No, it's not Behemoth. It's Medina Station now, is it?
Hmm. That's the one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's how they're like the central point of a relay system, and it's some point along the relay system that's failed. Which presumably is the last relay nearest that planet. And
I don't necessarily know if the relays have failed, have they? I think that's just speculation.
No, but they can't communicate with either of them.
No, I thought they just weren't replying.
Well, that to me,
because they've been busy.
That just means that, like, maybe inside the ring space, it's not working anymore. Like, could it be?
Yeah, I think within the sphere of the moons, within that sphere, I think that's where they're given problems. Mm. And they don't have enough power to send a powerful transmission, which the relay would be expecting, like, you know, normal transmission. I don't know. I can't remember that exact detail on that, but I don't think they mention it. Mm. So my take on it was either one of two things. Either ship's communications weren't getting out for power reasons, or... the relay nearest the planet is also down, therefore breaking the connection from there to the So yeah. either the relay nearest or their communication with that relay is the problem.
Could it just be that subatomic particles are moving at a slower velocity, or does that, and it's just like the signal's just not taking as long to get there?
It's possible. Or it
loses momentum, or the interference, you know, stops it from getting to its location.
I'll be honest and say I can't remember the exact detail of this, if there's any actual resolution to this or if it's a MacGuffin. So. Going by what's in the episode, we don't really know any that much.
No.
But the, yeah, so that's the other thing. So fusion stopped working is our problem that we've got there, yeah. Maybe there's some interpersonal stuff to talk about as well, but I don't know if you want to. That's up to you guys.
Go on, yeah.
I was just going to say that, like, the sort of, way back before the actual disaster happens, before even the first earth tremor thing comes through to them, Jim is trying to reason with them, and the boss lady, and I'm trying to remember the exact thing that happens now. Oh, fuck. I'm mixing up the last episode and this episode and kind of getting the wrong... I'm only getting half the story in my memory now. I've babbled my way into a corner.
He basically promises her that he will do everything
he'll try
can
and do everything he can. He's got no... And, yeah, so that sets another problem between him and Murtry.
Yeah, yeah.
Murtry is trying to get them to dump their entire mind cargo. He thinks, from a certain point of view, he's right, but only in as much as, like, completely ignoring their humanity. Mm-hmm. You know, and the fact that they've done the work and also that they've taken the risks.
And they've got as much right to be there as he's got right to tell
and
them
it's
they
like,
shouldn't be there.
Yeah, and he says, take it to a court. And she says, well, what, an Earth court? A Mars court? What court? Yeah. You know, what court's going to, you know, have a fair hearing for them? So anyway, so there's that extra animosity between Holden and Murtry going forward. And... the other point before, there's one more thing I'm going to come to. I will eventually come to it. But don't wiggle your eyebrows at me like that. the other thing that happens,
wiggle your chin as well.
Pardon?
Chris wiggled his eyebrows and his chin as well.
I can't do anything. I'm confusing myself now. It's like I can't do jazz hands unless I can see both hands.
Really?
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't. One of my hands just stops, and I can't. You know,
that's weird.
It is. I'm weird. So the other thing, the thing I was going to say in regard. So Murtry later realizes that the supplies are nowhere near enough to make them because of the combination of sheltering, things being damaged and lost at the camp, and obviously the fusion thing not working. So even if they do find a way to get them out of there. It's going to take longer than they expected, and they don't have long-term supplies. So he's like, you know, fuck them all. Everything we've got is ours, you know?
Yeah.
So that's there's so much tension building. You know, I did say nothing much happened, but there's a lot of tension building. And I just...
It's setting up dynamics. Yeah.
And of course, then we have my final thing that I've been almost getting around to quite a lot, is the green stuff in the eyes.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is I thought Chris would be interested in this one because it's you know, although it's green instead of blue, it is still weird alien stuff, and I thought that might
the green
be
stuff in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You've not noticed this yet. There's quite a big bit in this episode where it's like finally.
Yeah, in previous episodes they've just sort of had people going, oh, what's
they're
that?
Squinting and like looking around, like this, but in this episode the doctor women. Actually scans her eyes and...
Scans her eye? Oh, okay. My God, I didn't even register that was a thing. Like I thought
that would be like completely in your wheelhouse, and I thought you'd be on it, and that's why I'm surprised you never brought it up before. This is obviously going to be a thing.
This is obviously going to be a thing. Yeah, you're right. I don't like... Nah, it was just an infection. Goodbye. Like,
yeah, I was expecting Chris theories up the wazoo for this one, you know.
Shit. No, that was an oversight on my part. I don't... Like, yeah, you know, I'm surprised at myself, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's not...
Do you want to apologise to the audience?
I do apologise to the audience most wholeheartedly.
Do you accept
not
his apology?
Their eye thing.
If you don't accept his apology, let us know. If you do, let us know.
Ghosty, let us know.
Ghosty, let us know. Yeah, Ghosty. He's one of the serial repliers. Yeah, so
because the thing is, I was watching that, I was thinking, oh, she better get sorted quickly.
You've kind of got other things going on at the time, haven't
and then
you?
Suddenly yeah. she's got some sort of weird eye infection yeah. as well. So she's like trying to bring quite a lot of medical and scientific equipment, and Jim says, "Do we really need all that?" And she says, "Yes," because something's going on, you know. And she's, you know, other people in the show have you know, had little subtle hints that there's something wrong as well. So, you know, if you're eagle-eyed, you'll know that it's not just her.
That's quite. I mean, yeah, definitely. Like,
they've got. You know, by the end of the episode, they've got possibly being drowned, possibly running out of supplies, some sort of weird infection or disease or alien thing going on with their eyes, no power.
Creepy child.
Creepy child, yeah. You know, there's a lot of things going on. Oh, plus, not to mention all the fucking, you know, I said the word a minute ago, not animos, tension, all the tension and stuff going on between the people as well.
And also you've got Mercury and Jim, and you've also got in the middle of that, you've got Amos and Amos's girlfriend, whose name I can't remember. Like, obviously, kind of, you know, it caught in the middle of that tension. Yeah.
That's
the stuff.
Yeah, there's actual stuff in her eye. Yeah,
I do have a Chris theory.
I love Chris theory.
Okay, so this is just something I've come up with off the hoof, right? So this is green, but I don't know if this is just what you see through the telescope, right?
Microscope,
sorry.
also on the hoof.
What did I say? Off the hoof.
you did. It doesn't matter. Sorry, Chris. One bit, but since we were correcting you, I thought I might as well throw that one in.
On the hoof, off the hoof, on the hoof. Off the bat, on the hoof.
Off the cuff, on the hoof.
Off the cuff, on the hoof. Right. Hoof.
My mum was a serial mixer of those kind of things.
Oh, my favourite one. It's my sister's ex's mother. She said, "I wouldn't trust him with a barge pole," and I love it.
That's a good.
Well, this isn't rocket surgery, but so my guess is that thematically, green is relevant. So it strikes me as this might not be the protomolecule as we know it. This might be the from technology that the builders were wiped out by or fighting. So like another...
There is other life on the planet. Actually, there was other life on the planet. And nobody seemed to care.
It's no longer the proton molecule. Now it's just the molecule.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
But it has become.
Didn't anybody think, like, nobody even mentioned that they were just worried about themselves. Okay, but
I don't think do they know whether there's any other.
Because they've talked about weird lizards and there's trees and stems. Okay, there's
clearly plants. Yeah.
So it's a weird thing where maybe the filming and budget didn't give them what they wanted.
But I think it's one of the reasons why I don't love this season.
Yeah, it feels a bit disjointed. Tight. Yeah,
and it just looks like Earth. Like, I don't like that.
It's like Doctor Who. It's a quarry in Wales, you know.
Just put green sand or something. Yeah. I don't
Even if you just do it in post, just change the colours of things just to make it look alien.
Yeah.
It's semantically alien.
Yeah. And also, I just find there's trees and lizards and shit on this planet. Why is that not a bigger deal? Are these trees...
What do they taste like?
What do they taste like? How much water do they need?
That's why certain giant turtles never made it back to the records in the UK, isn't it? All the expeditions, they were so tasty. They just literally just eat these turtles on the way home.
Yeah, but
tortoises or something. Which one?
Yeah, because if these trees are extra good at converting CO2 into oxygen and other bits, it's like, well, should we plant a few of them on Earth? Could this be? I mean,
yeah,
I know
there's
that's
so many.
Bit...
Yeah, but that's the whole point, surely, of going out and exploring these places is to check out everything. I mean,
I guess
that would have been a better use of
the mission.
The mission that came, not the military. Sort of, what's the word? not the PMCs, but the other people, checking out the botany and whatever the word is for.
That's what Star Trek would have done.
True. That's what Prax would have done.
That's what Prax would have done. Prax would have loved it.
Yeah.
New plants to look at.
Yeah.
You could have set up the botany set up on Illus.
That would have been cool. I miss Prax.
But now Jim's fucked up some alien machinery and it's fighting back. So,
He's shot missiles at it and now,
fucked everything up again.
Yeah.
I like the way that nobody hesitates to blame him and he's like, that's not important right now.
He's very politician.
He doesn't say, no, it wasn't me, or, yeah, it was me and I'm sorry. He just goes, none of that's important right now. You know,
he's not wrong. Yeah.
But it's very deflective. You know?
Can I come to my only uncovered note?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Squeezed on mine in the last little while, actually.
Ashford's floating baby.
I forgot about that.
First of all, floating baby in space, that was cool, and secondly, like it's his son, it's his son that he lost and and we get to see him get to see him unburnt and all that, and it's kind of sweet. I like Ashford a lot.
He's not the same character from the books. It's quite a different
really?
He's an amalgamation of some things. Ashford, the actual Ashford in the books, is a bit of a prick.
I mean, he has his prickish moments, like when he was sort of trying
all the bad stuff, multiply that and make it the only thing that Ashford does, and you've got the books.
but then you've
got other characters who's been melded into him.
I think the actor does a particularly good job as well. Like he's got that old man riz, as the kids say,
he's great in the thing I mainly know him from is the Bourne films, and he's really good in the Bourne films as well. He's as creepy CIA dude.
Mm-hmm. That's creepy CIA dude.
But he looks in the video. He looks like such a kindly dad.
So many things have changed them from that point onwards.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even know if it was something bad. Something illegal or dodgy that was happening.
It
could have just been an accident or whatever. We don't really know. I don't know if that's even canon.
I think what we've got is the ship was on fire and he tried to rescue his child and failed and got badly burnt. Which is going to fucking traumatize him, obviously.
Absolutely. I think there's a kindliness to Ashford anyway.
But then he just
looked like, I don't know, like that did have very much like home movie kind of vibes, didn't it?
Well, that's what it was meant to be, wasn't it? It was meant to be a home movie, wasn't it?
I think the reason he's got the ability to be wry, like the little looks he gives to, and that's the actor, that is 100% the actor being able to pull that off, like the little looks he gives to Kamina. And the relationship between him and Kamina is amazing.
It's an excellent little thing they've got going there. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I like the fact that he can, he gives her advice and like old man wisdom without being without overriding her or condescending.
She can take it or leave it, and sometimes she takes it, sometimes she leaves it, and it doesn't change their relationship.
And I like the relationship between him and Kamina. Like, it's, I don't know, it just rings very
it's got that father-daughter thing going on.
But also they're very, I don't know, like they seem to, like they work things out well between them as well. Like, you know, like
they've got just the right amount of friction to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
But obviously a lot of regard for each other as well.
I mean, it's the best possible, because like you got like the, I mean, from what I can see, the two big hemispheres of the Belters, which is like the Dorsey versus the Tycho Johnson sort of, like, and it's like, you know, Dawes is a bit more like authentic traditional Belters, whereas Johnson might be a bit more like enterprising and professional, and it's like this is like the best possible meeting of those two visions, you know, because you need them both, but it's kind of like
the diplomatic version of both of them.
Yeah,
working together, diplomatic.
I think I've said this before, but Drummer everything personality wise, every time she reacts to something, she seems more Dawsy than she does Johnsony. And I think that's partly why it works as an ambassador. And you could even make the case Ashford is a bit more Johnsony than he is Dawsy. Yeah. You could make that.
Yeah.
So, I think that's why.
They mix well because they are kind of very similar in a lot of ways.
Mm.
And they do
meet
like
in the middle.
Yeah.
Meet in the middle, yeah.
Very good. Well, this has been quite a long episode with, I have to say, not that much Expanse talk. But, you know, I will always stand by the quality of our Expanse talk, though.
And also, I will say, I said from the beginning, this is my least favorite season. I think next season, we'll have more to talk about. This season is a bit like, oh, they've just done some more stuff on the planet. Oh, and they've done another thing on the planet.
It really feels, watching it back again, it feels more and more like everybody just got back together after the big break. It was 18 months or something. They got, they got a new lease of life and they got to make a couple more series. And this, it feels like...
It kind of feels like a different show.
It does a bit. It's like they took everybody in a different direction. Mm. I don't know if the book was written, because Cibola Burn was, if it was finished before this series started or not, or if it was part, because maybe it was interrupted because they were doing other stuff to try and sort out the TV show, I just don't know what's, the whole thing feels, if you take into account characters like Ashford, Cibola Burn, the book, is quite different in a lot of ways, actually.
Mm.
And I think, if I'm remembering it correctly from the whole lot, I think it sets up what we get in Series 6 even better than this has. You've got a lot of, like The Expanse always gives you threads to follow. And I think this sets...
We can't mention those threads even because
we can't even tell you which things we're talking about. But the stuff that gets planted here that pays off really well as you'd expect from The Expanse. But I think the book.
I think this season for me, because the first season has a very slow build up really. To certain exciting moments. This season. And then there's the seasons that are just outright exciting all the way through. And this is kind of neither. It's not really particularly doing a good job of building up, but it's not very exciting. You've not really got a ton of character stuff. You've not got a ton of excitement stuff.
It's like they're not mixing the set pieces and the character stuff together as well as... They're not melding it together as well as they did previously.
But the next season, for me, the next season gets right back on track.
Also, like the colonialism stuff after a while gets a bit heavy-handed. Like Murtry is like, he's just the bad colonial guy. Mm-hmm. Like we get it for the first bit of it, but now he's just like, okay, this is another scene of Murtry being nasty.
It's something we've praised the show for in general, is like even the bad characters are understandable to a there's no villain.
Yeah, if you look at like
Jules Pierre-Mau aside, maybe, but Murtry's a straight up antagonist villain, and I think that
is a bit more TV
interesting. Yeah.
And he's just also I think he's outstayed his welcome. Like he was interesting to begin with, but now he's
at the point where he's making kind of poor decisions from his own self interest. Like he's kind of fucking himself. Like there's a point where if you had any fucking brains in that situation, you'd compromise. And
to him, it's always a zero sum game where it's like, look, if things are going to get worse, we're going to kill the Belters to save resources. Mm. And it's like, wow, what a Disney villain kind of.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like.
You're making your quote out of what?
Yeah. Exactly. It's just.
Belters.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, he's a very good, like, I think the acting is great.
Yeah, Byrne Gordon is doing the best he can with what he's got. Yeah, does a good job.
I think that all of this, because it's 90, this is part of the problem, it's 90% what's happening on that planet, right?
Mm.
And I think in previous seasons, that would have been a one-third segment and with two other thirds happening. Yeah. But it's just that. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, it's mostly that with a little, it's at least sort of 65% that. 15%, 20% in the, you know, the orbital stuff, and then another 10% in the ring space, and then like a tiny.
And the other seasons have had more. You've been in more places more often.
Marv. You know, I mean, it could be interesting to have seen more about the election. More before it started.
To what? Sorry.
To see more of the election on Earth as well, yeah. You know,
does that come back?
There's very little Earth. There's very little. Yeah, it does. Yeah,
must do. Yeah, it must do because it's not been resolved. Yeah,
yeah. There's very little Earth stuff in this season. Yeah, all it is every time you cut to Avasarala going Belters are shit, and then cutting back to the
again,
planet
again. I think a lot of real world shit probably got in the way of that. In as much as when people were available to film and everything, so I think Avasarala is probably, you know, Shoni Agadashu was busy.
You could have done Earth stuff and not necessarily had her be in it. It's too much planet. You've got the Bobby stuff on Mars, which is enjoyable, but the rest of it is just the planet stuff.
It's getting better now that there's a bit more character dynamics, you know, we didn't like Nephew.
Martin's we never okay. cared He's about him, really. Nephew. Well, we disliked him, in fact.
The only one I don't like is grumpy guy who fucking cost the operation, you know, and partly because he was rude to Bobby. It's like, I know Bobby was being...
She was being a bit naive there, really.
No, she for sure, but
criminal underworld person.
She was just shaking his hand. In what situation? You don't refuse somebody's handshake. Like, you just look like a dickhead.
Yeah, it's but like unless you know, hate like,
them. Unless you're enemies, you know.
Yeah, it's like he could have been a bit more like, yeah, no, don't give your name or something.
Yeah,
you know, just,
exactly. Yeah,
you know, yeah, he could have been a bit dismissive, which would have made him look like a dick, but at least for good reasons.
Yeah, rather than I don't care.
Yeah, I'm rather than what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Yeah.
It's partly that, but then also he has the audacity to fuck up the mission, and it's like, so you're an asshole, and you know.
If you're going to behave like a badass, you've got to follow through.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. You're just some sort of, like, maladjusted idiot.
Incompetent, rude person.
Yeah.
Should become a politician.